B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, it's game day, everybody. It is game day. You waited for game five of the Sixers tonight against the Miami Heat, and tonight is the night. The critical game five, blah, 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 all of the talking points. Know it this way. You saw it yesterday. You got an 84% chance to win the series, history says, if you win tonight's game. If you lose tonight's game, you got a lot of wishing and hoping. And I don't know about you, but wishing and hoping is not a strategy. Not at all. Coach wants you to know, as we start this 6 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters, and Bradford White is here for the pro, that according to the DoorDash app, the top three foods that are ordered during this current NBA postseason are pizza, that should be easy,
wings
yeah. Simple, third,
burgers,
mozzarella sticks,
you'll never get it,
jalapeno poppers,
Chinese food,
a meatball parm sandwich. Yeah, not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice.
I would never guess that.
I had one from Pagano's the other day.
I would never guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
How was the bread? Can you just tell me? I haven't had a lot of bread lately.
There was a seeded roll, John, and it cracked.
It cracked, and then it was soft inside. Really nice. Yeah. We get Pat Egan back today.
Seeded? Yeah, always seeded.
Yeah.
Pat Egan's back today.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
How you guys doing?
You feeling better?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You look good.
I'm all pilled up.
Your color's not good, though.
Yeah,
he doesn't have much color.
I told you, he had explosive diarrhea yesterday.
He looks like he's from the Vampire Diaries this morning.
Hey, those guys get a lot of women, so.
They do, they're very popular down there.
Vamp chic.
Very popular down there in Atlanta, those vampires. They love to, they make
a
big deal.
I need a t-shirt, I'm big in Atlanta.
There you go, you are already. Jamie's the biggest, though. Let's be honest.
They love me down there.
They don't like you either, Pat, but they hate.
Jamie's invited to apparently a couple of cons. To sign some autographs, do some pictures down there.
Atlanta Con.
Yeah, Honor Con.
Honor Con. Yeah, they hate you down there. Jamie is the one that, he's public enemy number one.
Sounds like they have a problem with their own superstar.
Let me bring it to you this way. There have been 10 playoff games. Doc Rivers has gone up against Nick Nurse in 6 of them with his own logo. And Eric Spoelstra, who's actually a very, very accomplished head coach who doesn't have his own logo. And I want to start with this today as we head into game five, because we're going to need Doc to have a big effort tonight. Is Doc Rivers out coaching his counterpart again? I think we all agreed that in the first series, Doc Rivers, and I think in 3 of the wins, he clearly out coached Nick Nurse. I think he did a great job in that series. Doc had a really good playoff series. Is he having a good playoff series here? Tied 2-2? Or is it just that Joel Embiid was back and now Doc looks better because he has his full complement of players? Or is there something that Doc Rivers is doing where you could legitimately say, no, Doc's doing a really, really good job against Eric Spoelstra and he's outsmarting him?
He's done a really good job in game 3 and 4. I think what cost them in game 1 and 2 was DeAndre Jordan and the decision to start him and play him. I think Paul Reed would have been a better option. Paul Reed's now a plus 19 in 40 plus minutes in this series. He scoffed at reporters that asked him about it when all the data and the analytics and the eye test said DeAndre Jordan can't play in this series. I'll give him credit from learning from his mistake and moving past it. But if Joel Embiid doesn't return, does he continue to make that same mistake?
And do you lose both games if you don't take that strategy in Miami? I would tell you,
I
think you steal one of them.
I think you could have stolen one. I really do. So I think he had a good game in 3 and 4. I think he had a very subpar to F grade for games 1 and 2.
Is there anything you can point to, though, from games 3 and 4, Bob, where you say he out-coached Spoelstra? His plan was better than Spoelstra's?
I don't know. It could be as simple as Joel Embiid returning in games 3 and 4.
Right, exactly.
It's been a 3-point series. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The team that has shot better from 3-point range has won each game and decidedly shot better. You know, it's really been weird, the disparity in three-point shooting between the two teams in every game. You know, Miami was really good in games one and two. Sixers were horrible.
I think they were the best in the league over the course of the regular season.
They were, yeah. Sixers were really good in three and four from three-point range, and Miami was horrible. So where does the coaching go into
that? Did they do something to make Miami's three-pointers less wide open, less, you know, more challenging?
Switched the zone at times that, you know, gummed them up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think the zone is very good, but Tyler Hero missed open shots the other night.
Wide open.
Yeah.
Was he 4 for 12?
Yeah, 5 for 15.
Or something like that, yeah.
I mean, it's weird. Going into the series, we talked about it. Tyler Hero was the guy. Obviously, you have Jimmy Butler, but Tyler Hero was the guy you had to stop. And they had no plan for him in games one or two. And I was calling for, I don't know, at least put Thibel on him. Whenever he plays, get Thibel out there and at least have him cover him man-to-man. But to me, it's been a players play it out series so far. Now, game five, when it's 2-2, this is where you really start to see something. What are you going to do? Are you going to feed Embiid tonight? Are you going to try to take advantage of that? What are you taking away from Miami? How is Miami's offense going to come after you after a 79-point effort a couple of nights ago and not a great offensive night the other night? So tonight should be telltale as far as this subject, I think.
Pat, do you feel that anything can be pointed to where you say Doc Rivers is, or that either coach is out coaching the other in this series?
No, I think it comes down to, as Bob alluded to, three-point shooting. I mean, the Sixers didn't have in game one and two. They also didn't have a center worth a damn. But
well, that might affect the three-point shooting.
It might, yeah.
I mean, DeAndre Jordan is literally somebody you don't have to worry about that just gummed up the lane. And you don't have to worry about him, so therefore you can press outside more, and it probably affected it. So that falls on Doc a little bit to me.
A little bit, yeah. There were a bunch of open looks that the Heat had in games three and four that just like weren't falling for whatever reason. So I think it comes down to like both these teams are somewhere in the middle. They're not this cold, and I guess hopefully we'll find out game five.
Yeah, we're going to find out tonight if anything has clearly changed. And the theory that it's going to be, well, Joel Embiid's going to be pissed. That seems to be the talking point now. He'll be pissed, so he's going to go out there and he's going to put on a great show. I don't know how much more he can advance with what he's dealing with right now. You know, he was better in game two than he was in game one. Yeah, that he is back. How much do you get better in 48 hours is the question to me.
I think significantly. I do. I think just learning how to play through what you have is big. Getting into the gym for 4 days straight after not having been there at all is big. Just the normal routine of everything, getting used to the mask, all of those things, those are big. And it's just a comfort factor, getting your legs back underneath you. You know, when you have a concussion the way they're describing, the way he had it, you sit and do nothing. I mean, you don't feel like doing anything, and you feel horrible. So just feeling better, getting back out there, getting yourself acclimated to teammates again, and your teammates acclimated to you. I think the injection of Joel Embiid in this series is huge and could be the turning tide of it.
Yeah, I mean, he affects everything, every aspect of the game. Three-point shooting, one and two. Like, I think Joel Embiid's presence alone on the court allows George Niang and Danny Green that extra, you know, half a second to get a shot off or be open more. His presence defensively changed everything. I mean, they suck defensively when he's not on the court. They're bad. And he changes that. He's like 2.5 defenders out there. He's that good. He changed everything. So I think it's ultimately more Joe, but I think Doc's decision, you know, I'll hang up on it to start DeAndre Jordan was just one of the dumbest things I've seen in a long time.
And it could end up being what cost them this series.
It could.
Because game one was in the balance. Game one was there to be taken.
Oh, yeah. And if you notice, the Heat got out to leads in the first quarter. The Sixers fought back. Made it respectable by halftime. The third quarter, when DeAndre came back out again, the Heat boat raced them. So the first and third quarters, you got killed because you had a center that wasn't capable of playing in this series.
So the jury then is, Doc's cost his team more than Spoelstra's cost his.
I would agree. But I thought he was decent in 3 and 4.
I say it because I tape the NBA and the NFL shows just to see if there's anything that catches my eye. And they were talking about, boy, Doc Rivers is having an amazing postseason, Pat.
Amazing.
They're bragging at his that he's having an amazing postseason. I thought he had a really good series against Toronto.
He did.
But I don't think this Miami series is something that you're... It's directly tied to Joel Embiid, and I think his stubbornness maybe cost them one of the first two games of the series. They could be going for the clinch tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he was in between a rock and a hard place. Paul Reed is a walking foul. I think we all knew that. He can give you 10 minutes, but he can also give you 10 minutes with five fouls at the same time. He gives you energy boost for sure, but you can't rely on him for more than probably 20 minutes. Although in game two, he did play about 25 minutes, and he played pretty well. But they were better going small, and they didn't really go small. And that became obvious after game one, and then game two, they didn't do it. They just stuck with the DeAndre Jordan method. I mean, to me, the difference is clearly it's Joel Embiid. You know, Jamie talked about the defense, and no bigger example of that was him on Oladipo.
Yeah, but good or bad, I don't think Doc Rivers has had that much of a hand in either series. I really don't. Like the Toronto series, Toronto had to play a team, their team, that they hadn't played all season. A bunch of 6'8 guys that they hadn't played together because Fred VanVleet got hurt. And, you know, you had different things going on with them. So, okay, you won that series, which you should have. You have a bunch of 6'8 guys, and you have Joel Embiid. So you should win that series.
You should have won that series, correct.
Doc, in this series, if you're going to go for the headline so far was the misuse of DeAndre Jordan. So that leans to the negative, but they've overcome that now that Joel Embiid is healthy.
He's never going to admit that, by the way.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. They probably could have stole one of those first two games had they... Had Doc used that rotation probably differently and not been so stubborn about DeAndre Jordan.
Hey, buckling up is the best way to protect yourself and your loved ones in a crash. Drive smart, buckle up, be safe, PA. You can learn more at PennDOT.PA.gov/safety. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. Did you get to see much of the Boston game last night before you passed out?
No, I watched all of it, yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of the...
Al Horford was a double agent that was sent here to sabotage the Sixers, and he should be tried for war crimes.
Well, I got to tell you.
Well said.
I don't blame him.
What about
Thanks,
Anna?
Pat.
What about Anna?
Did you see the creepy video she put out of her husband wearing Al's jersey?
She's creepy. She's creepy
Real
already.
Real creep vibes,
She's creepy
man.
Already.
That was weird.
Anna Horford has always been...
That was weird.
Exactly what she is.
I like her.
What, you like the crazy...
Yeah, she's got that, like, Lorena Bobbitt kind of crazy.
She has the...
She told you to wear Al's jersey in the boudoir, you would?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
seriously weird.
Let's party.
That's your brother.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's
only
your brother.
The jersey.
That's so
not
bring
my
your brother,
brother
in it. So you're saying you're a woman, and mm-hmm. you say to your lover, wear my brother's jersey in the bedroom.
Some of the hottest ones are always the crazy ones, you know?
Well, incest is sort of a crazy, like, sort
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I'm not into that, but...
Yeah, well, obviously, it seems like there's something might be on Anna's mind.
No, I'm willing to role play.
She crazy.
Oh,
she's flat-out
yeah,
crazy.
No, she's bat bleep insane.
She has always been, and when Al even got it, she has always been, look, I want to be... I'm famous, too, because my brother's famous. She crazy. I want a Sixers-Boston series for the Eastern Conference title like I want oxygen.
Really? Why?
Because it would reignite a long, I think, dormant rivalry, and I think it would absolutely just set this town on its ear. Sixers, Celtics. There's a hatred. There's a hatred that goes back generations for young men like Pat. His dad's generation, his grandfather's generation, my dad's generation. They hated the Celtics.
Yeah.
Young people today don't have the same vibe.
I started to get it a little bit with the sweep, but then I justified it. Well, Ben's not playing.
It would reignite that, Bob.
It would.
It would tap into a generational hatred in this town that I think would reignite something. And I think good old-fashioned hate is good. I think it's good. I think it's good for the energy. I think it's good for our business.
I just have a feeling that if you play the Celtics, you're going to hate them even more after the series because I think they beat the Sixers in the series.
You think the
I'd rather play Milwaukee.
Okay, explain to me.
Middleton's out.
Yeah.
Well, is that it?
Middleton's out, yeah. The Sixers have been pretty successful at defending Giannis to the way you can defend him. Boston plays a brand of team basketball that is really, really good. And Yeah, Al Horford. You can look at it and say, oh, it's Al Horford. That style fits in perfectly. And Udoka's just coaching tremendously up there.
It's
and
more criminal, Al Horford.
I don't like your tone. I don't like Bob's tone.
I don't like the matchup against the Celtics.
No, yeah, but believe me, they're
good. But, you know, you get them.
You know
that
what I mean,
means you're playing well because you beat the Heat. The Celtics will probably going to be a little worn out from a great series against Milwaukee. So
that's going seven, look, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. You bring on whoever you're going to bring on, but if you were to ask me, and maybe you guys are the same, if you were to say who would you rather face, Milwaukee or Boston right now, I don't want any parts of Boston. If I have a choice, I'm choosing Milwaukee.
Pat?
I mean, I think they lose to either team. I'd be thrilled if they just.
I don't like your tone either.
I'm sorry.
They can beat either team
when they can.
You're
absolutely,
right. Absolutely.
But I think that they lose to either team. I mean, when you're in one of the final four teams, you probably don't like your matchup any way you swing it. I mean, you're one of the final four teams. So
Middleton being out though changes a lot.
It does, but I think they unfortunately lose to either team. But what the hell do I know?
And
a lot. I mean, it all depends if the Sixers are hitting their shots. They can beat anybody.
I mean,
they're a fickle team that way. If Niang and Danny Green are on, they're trouble for anybody.
Yeah, I think
they just are.
I think their depth rears its ugly head the deeper the series and
the deeper the opponents you run.
But you know what?
The minutes will ramp up too in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Boston probably only goes 7 to 8 deep every game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like 9, 10, 11.
Yeah.
It's only 7 or 8 guys are going for Boston too. So. I don't know. I watch Boston, and I just really like the way they play basketball.
All right. By the way, Brian Dawkins joins us today at 8:30. We will have Brian Dawkins with us here on the Fanatic. We look forward to talking to Brian about his fabulous celebrity golf event, which is coming up, and you have a chance to attend his celebrity soiree. Now that's Jamie has probably been to many soirees.
Hosts soirees.
I have never been to a soiree.
What technically makes it a soiree?
It's where, like, the rich and famous hobnob. You've gone to many hobnob events. You know, when
we call it a beef and beer.
When you're in Delco, we have our beef and beers, and they're great. They are great. Bob, you've been to enough beef and beers.
Oh, yeah.
So the definition
of a soiree.
An evening party or gathering, typically in a private house for conversation or music.
This sounds like a Jamie Lynch type event.
Does everyone
wear white?
Sounds like something everybody's done.
Does everyone have to dress a certain way? I mean,
you play Parcheesi or charades.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Brian Dawkins today at 8:30. That doesn't sound like private soiree-ish conversation with Brian Dawkins. It doesn't sound like B-Dawg's kind of thing either. But
probably some music.
Music
good
and
conversation.
Fun. I get it'll be fun. It's at Penn Oaks Golf Club. We'll talk all about it. Phillies got 17 hits last night. 17. Ranger Suarez was good. He's got his ERA under 3.7. Yay. And the Phillies knock out 17 hits in a 9-0 victory.
Sweet.
9-0. I don't remember the last time the Phillies had a win like this. Like 9-0, where you shut somebody down and then you put up that giant number.
This is good. It'll plump up their runs per game number again so we can
convince
ourselves
like that counts.
They're consistent, yeah.
You were throwing that at me last week, though. You were throwing me that wins. Their offense is like top 5 in baseball. Yeah, I mean, when you go by runs, you're getting all the unearned runs, too.
I think that was somebody else.
That's a nice night, though. That's a great night. I wanted to come home from this road trip 4-3 just to stop the bleeding of the crappy play that they've had. You're going to need one or two more wins over the Mariners to do that because you got 4 with the Dodgers this weekend.
Yeah.
But I mean, a 4-3 road trip, I think, would set a tone of, okay, we've stopped the bleeding and we're coming back home and we're going to be ready to compete.
Here's hoping. I mean, look, we're looking at them going 500 pretty much on a road trip to stop bleeding. What does that say about the team? You
know, they're 9-9 at home.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I mean, they hit Scherzer the other day, which is good. You think the bats are coming around. In the second game in a doubleheader, they get swamped. They go out there to Seattle and score some runs. Yeah, look, it's going to be an offensive team, right?
Yes.
So you got to go with it. So hopefully this is what happens. But it's funny, you say 4-3 to stop the bleeding.
Well, you're playing the Dodgers for 4. Yeah. That's why I say it.
No, I can't see them coming back from this trip over 500 for the 7 games. I don't see it.
If you could split, well, the thing is, if you set yourself up with the Mariners, you can.
Yeah.
If you sweep the Mariners, all you got to do is win one.
Yeah.
Then all you got to do, and this Mariners team's not that good.
They're bad.
So.
They're real bad. I mean, they signed Robbie Ray in the offseason. I think he goes tonight against Nola. He's back to being Robbie Ray. He looked in the mirror and realized who he is. So you should be able to hammer him. Their offense is non-existent. They're just a bad it's the same story with the Mariners every year, but they're just a bad offensive team. So you should be able to, at the very least, take 2 of 3.
And like last night, too. So we had the thing where the Phillies the other day were shorthanded because of the fact that they're testing for COVID and reportedly no symptoms. Steve Kerr goes to the building last night to coach an NBA game. They test Steve Kerr. He's totally fine. And they go, Steve, you can't coach. You have you tested positive for COVID. The CDC saying do not test healthy people. And they're doing it still in sports. I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know why that is happening. When they're saying, if you feel symptoms or something, go get a test. Get yourself tested. But Steve Kerr came in to coach an NBA game last night and was told, perfectly fine, walks in the building. They're like, oh, you got to do your test. And then they come to him and go, no, you can't coach. You're out of here. Hey, at what point are they going to, are we, I don't understand what we're doing anymore. We're testing healthy people and they're saying, don't do that. They're saying not to do that. If you feel sick, get a test and do the responsible thing. But they're just now, this is shutting down. This is going to be where you got people being taken out of their work. Last night, that could have been a critical game last night. Steve Kerr could have missed. It was game four, and they ended up taking the 3-1 lead. Mike Brown, by the way, got the job in Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
He got the Sacramento job, and he coached last night.
He gets a playoff win already.
But Nola's here, so Nola will be
in Sacramento.
Nola will be pitching tonight. And by the way, Nola's been screwed. My ace has been screwed so far. And he's got a 3.38 ERA, which I think is very nice. And he has just gotten, he's the last two times he's taken to the mound, he's pitched extremely well and he still ends up screwed. Aaron Nola is an absolute ace. He has been.
This followed him before, this non-scoring when he pitches. So hopefully it doesn't become a trend again.
Like the collapse the other night when this happens. Not good at all. So we'll see. And then Phillies are TBD for tomorrow's game, pending trying to get Wheeler back into the mix. We got a lot going on today. Hang out with us. We get ready for game 5. And how you're feeling today may be tied to how Joel Embiid's feeling. And we'll talk about it because it seems as if all of a sudden Joel Embiid has a big fan club. Where were you? It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Go to the betparks.com. Betparks.com, Pennsylvania or New Jersey. The BetParks app has got you covered. Whether you're betting on baseball, golf, which has become incredibly popular, pro hoops, hockey, or more, new customers, you can make your first risk-free bet of up to $750 using the promo code Kincaid. Download the new app. Go to betparks.com. You're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, and you're 21 years old. You are in the mix on this. Now, tonight, for the Sixers, how are you feeling about tonight's matchup? Are you feeling confident? I don't know. There's a lot all over the board tonight. BetParks has got an option for you, though. 760-plus odds boost. Plus 760. Joel Embiid to have over 2 dunks and 1 block in tonight's game. The dunks, absolutely. The block, maybe a little bit more difficult. Maximum bet is $10. You can get plus 760 odds on the BetParks app. Go to betparks.com, download the app. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, and get involved in the fun. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show, The Fanatic. Welcome to game day. Sixers in the Heat. It's your flagship station for Sixers basketball, 97.5 The Fanatic. Game time tonight at 7:30. Bob's dancing a little bit.
That was my joyous thing to wake up to today is game five.
So that was your joyous thought?
It was. That and the fact that we had a fun round of golf yesterday and, you know, all that stuff.
Monco Golf Classic.
Gorgeous day yesterday.
Oh,
wasn't
my gosh, it was fantastic.
It was perfect.
Absolutely awesome. You guys are very good company on a golf course. You guys are very good, relaxed company on a golf course.
Fun's the best thing to have, John.
Oh, there's nothing worse than it's the, oh my gosh, we can't win. We know we can't win going in. I think that helps.
Yeah.
Almost every foursome I've ever played in a tournament knows on the way in we ain't winning.
No. Nah.
Because first of all, if you don't, first of all, you may not be good enough to win. Second of all, you're going to get pencil whipped.
I won one once, but it wasn't because of me. It was because I played with a guy that was like a semi-pro and just, it was, he's the best golfer I've ever played a round of golf with. And he carried us and got me gift store money. That was cool.
He got you what money?
Like gift shop money.
Oh.
Like the prize was like, we each got $150 at the gift shop.
Oh. Nice. That's what you got?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kept the money in-house?
I don't know. It was some charity outing. It was fine with me.
I want something else.
Nah.
I'm going to win.
That was good. I got a shirt and shorts out of it.
No, I think that would be a good one.
Yeah.
What, go to the pro shop and buy their stuff?
Yeah. I asked Connor yesterday. I said, Connor, I might want to wear pants today. Can you buy me a pair of pants here in the gift shop? And he wouldn't do it.
How?
It's rude. $100.
Why would another man buy you pants?
I don't know. I just was trying to make, you know, light of a funny situation.
Under Armour pants. I got talked into buying a pair of the long Under Armour golf pants. They are spectacular. Oh my gosh.
Oh, is that what you had yesterday?
Under Armour is top of their game right now.
I don't want to play golf in long pants.
It was so comfortable though. I felt the same thing. But it was too cold yesterday to be playing. It was too cold in shorts.
No, it was great. Me and Jamie were shorted up. No, it was like 70 degrees. It was awesome.
70? It's like 66 with a stiff wind. Most of the day yesterday. Oh, Pat, how are you in bed?
Those were just my shorts. I have nothing to add to this. It was about 68 degrees in my house.
So you didn't have the air conditioning down to...
No, I put the air conditioning fan on.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a nice combo.
So it was...
So you're post-opening windows? Or?
Yeah.
I usually don't open windows because of the noise.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Not to mention the... there's no fear now. There's no fear of having a giant fox on your property, right?
No, I think foxes are pretty cool dudes. We have one.
So they're good.
They're good.
The fox now has gotten to where in the middle of the night or after I leave for work, the fox comes right by the front door, setting off the doorbell every day. And it's a well-fed fox. What do foxes eat?
Anything they want.
But what would they eat in a residential area?
Lately, they've been ordering Grubhub. And
they do
pizza, wings, or a meatball parm.
And a meatball parm.
Yeah.
Mice?
I would say rodents.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's good then. Okay.
They might break into your trash.
Yeah.
I don't know, you got the big bins.
Yeah, I mean, like if it was open, maybe they'd get in there.
They get tiny little legs.
Yeah, with the suburbs, absolutely. They would eat into your trash.
Yeah.
You get the good stuff.
You got those big bins.
The squirrels by us are nasty. They'll get anything you leave out for like less than an hour.
The squirrels are all over. They'll
rip it up. Sometimes they'll climb in the trash cans. They're a little bastards.
That happened to me last week. I know you said it happened to you. I went outside. And this squirrel came running out of my trash because it was open just a jar because the tree had caught on it, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And a squirrel came out of it. I was like, oh, damn. And I had like a bottle in my hand and saw like that. It went flying.
When is a trash can not a trash can? When it's a jar.
Oh, God.
You can do that there.
All right, we got a break.
There you go. Joel Embiid.
You want to dump that, Pat? Yeah.
Joel Embiid not winning the MVP has created quite a stir around the NBA media. It was the topic yesterday on all the shows, including Michael Wilbon, who now all of a sudden is a huge Joel Embiid fan. I'm fascinated that every single one of the shows yesterday managed to do, how did Embiid not win the MVP?
Does Wilbon have a vote?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to see his vote.
No, he did. He voted for him.
Oh, he did? Okay.
He flat out said, I voted for Joel Embiid.
All right, good.
Okay, who then, if it's every show had it yesterday, NBA TV, the ESPN, the Malika Andrews show. How did Embiid not win the MVP? What does Joel Embiid need to do to win an MVP? They did these topics yesterday.
We tried telling you.
Here's your headline. All of you, he did it already. But the stats geeks and the morons voted for Jokic. I don't understand this. And the Ringer was high-fiving. Like, they're high-fiving. Showing that the more intelligent fans who look just past the box scores can see who the MVP was. And Bob, if you wanted to be pissed off, you said, where's the Ringer people saying this? Just go to any of their public. They love that Embiid didn't win. They are like, the more intelligent basketball fans won. We now have come to a new era where the people who actually understand the game to a different level are the ones that are now being able to determine what truly is valuable.
Look, if they're looking at some kind of analytics that I don't understand or whatever to make their vote that Jokic should have won the MVP, okay, whatever. But if you're making a vote so that another guy doesn't win it, then your vote should be taken away.
No, what I think they're trying to say is our advanced analytics show that this guy's the best, and we know so much more because we're advanced analytics guys. We're smarter. We don't look at the box scores. We have these advanced analytics that tell us what really you need to know. Where you've got guys like Shaquille O'Neal and others that are saying, we don't have to go to these levels to figure out who the best player is.
I mean, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, Tyrese Halliburton, a lot of guys around the league. Steven Jackson came out with a thing yesterday that goes like, what the hell is going on? Like, he basically was like, real ballers know that Joel Embiid's the MVP of the league.
Yes.
He said, you got robbed, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else you have to do. For Jokic to win it again, he had to be, like, tremendously better than what he was. And while there was probably a slight improvement, because he was missing two of his pieces. So he could, not to say stat pad, but inflate his stats a little bit more. What Embiid did was the storyline of the NBA this year. Taking the Sixers from the dumps to where they were. It's just, when Joel says, I don't know what else I have to do, he's right. Like, I don't know what else one would have to do this year.
What they did go back to, though, is, and ESPN went back to it on the NBA show, is before the year, they had the Sixers as a 4 seed in the East, and the Sixers finished a 4 seed. So their point was, Joel Embiid didn't do anything that we didn't expect him to do.
All right, they had him as a 4 seed. Was that before they knew Ben Simmons wasn't going to be there for the year?
No, it's when they knew Ben Simmons wasn't going to be. Like, in the beginning, when Ben Simmons... Remember when the whole thing, when they did the season preview and everything.
So what did they have the Nuggets?
I don't know what they had the Nuggets.
Well, if they're going to use that case against the Sixers, I'd like to see what it is against the Nuggets.
Well, they were doing this whole thing yesterday, like they were clutching their pearls that somehow Joel Embiid didn't win. And I'm like, wait a minute, you people... I think if you'd actually brought this up more as a topic, if it had been more of a during the year of saying, man, Joel Embiid's having this special season, which it was a special year, and he doesn't win. The NBA players, if the players and coaches and general managers voted for this award, and maybe a veterans committee, Joel Embiid's wins so easily it's a landslide.
Who wins?
There's not one player coming out that I could find yesterday coming out and saying, Jokic, you did it and you deserve it.
No, Bones Highland did.
Oh, he did? Bones Highland?
His teammate, yeah.
Yeah, because nobody else was. Every other NBA player from, how about this? Every NBA player from any other team not associated with the Sixers or the Nuggets seemed to be uniform and going, boy, Joel Embiid, you got robbed. Dude.
Yeah, because he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. On top of the offensive stats that, you know, these analytics people love to drool over. Joel Embiid is one of the best defenders in the NBA. He can guard guards at his size. He can guard centers. Like, it is what it is.
I hate these. It's another reason I hate these self-congratulatory awards, though.
It's a two-way game, and that gets forgotten about in MVP voting. Like, defense is a major part of basketball. What the hell are we talking about?
Yeah, of the three, Giannis included in who we're talking about, I probably would have had Jokic third. I would have voted Embiid because, like I said yesterday about all the, what you talked about, John, all the hoopla surrounding. It was the story of the season. Going into this season was that Ben Simmons wasn't here, and the Sixers seamlessly overcame it because of Joel Embiid. You lost your second best player, and they seamlessly overcame it with 51 wins. I would have had Giannis second.
I think I would add Giannis second also.
Yeah, because he's a great defender also.
But Giannis could win it almost any year.
He could.
He's ridiculous too.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. Hey, CollegeAbb student loans, now that your high school seniors made their commitment, visit CollegeAbb.com. It'll help relieve the stress of how you're going to pay for it. Check it out, CollegeAbb.com. Breathe easier. Do that process, though, along with your college-bound student. Let them get a good handle on what it's going to cost, how it's going to be done. CollegeAbb.com, they do a great, great job.
And his teammate, James Harden, knows what it's like to have an MVP ripped away from him. I mean, the fact he didn't win the MVP that year when he put up like 36-9-7 or something, like that's a joke. Like Steve Nash was a good player back then, but like
that's
one of the most historic season stat lines anybody's ever put up in the game.
Well, I think one time Dirk win it above Shaq.
Yeah,
and I mean seriously,
it needs to be changed. It does. I really think players should have a hand in
players,
this. Players,
coaches, general managers think. But or Pat's idea, which Pat, we brought it up yesterday in your absence. You're probably sleeping. We brought it up in your absence. What a great idea you had about every organization gets one vote.
Yeah,
They vote together.
That's probably the fairest way to do it, but to ignore the players that are playing against these people is absurd. And to Jamie's point, when you have the entire league basically coming out being like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
You got robbed.
But then the Ringer, who has six votes, and they're nerds and they're calculators.
I thought they had three.
Whatever they have, it's too many. You know, it's like these guys play against you. They're telling you one thing, but you don't want to see it.
I like what Bob said yesterday, and one of my buddies who's a big basketball fan said, Cooney's just so smart. That sums it up perfectly. If you can't explain your stat in 5 seconds,
yeah,
you can't explain what the stat is. Oh, Raptor is, let's go to the, you can't explain it. It's ridiculous. You're searching.
Yeah,
for something to make your case.
I had a guy one time telling me when analytics first started coming about, and I'm covering the Sixers, about how Thaddeus Young, when he got the ball and he turned and dribbled with his right hand first before coming back to his left, he shot 67%. And I went, and he looked at me. He's like, what the hell was that? I said, shot clock just went off. I don't need all that stuff.
Exactly. It's too long.
Yeah. It's great. It's great to have more knowledge on anything. No question about it. But I just don't think it can rule your day.
Well, Joel can write all this. There's a better award to get.
Yeah, get the finals MVP.
Finals MVP.
I do.
I mean, I would have liked $1,000 in my pocket. I'm not going to lie. But a finals MVP would make me feel a lot better.
I do like it, though, when one of my friends would actually say to me, you said something really smart on your show, not Bob. I would appreciate that a little bit more, but I don't have...
My friends don't even listen. They're not even sports fans.
I don't maybe have great friends. So, hey, in Cooney's Corner, a confidence level with the Sixers? How you feeling this morning?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I'm not going to say I'm not confident going into tonight's game because I do feel all right. I think the Sixers are the better team. I think they have the better talent. Overall, like we discussed yesterday, man for man, I think the Sixers are better. But what Sixers team is going to show up is what scares me. And I maybe you guys don't feel the same way, and maybe listeners out there, maybe you don't feel the same way. I don't know. But do you have a kind of little bit of reservation about having full confidence going into a game because you just don't know what team is going to show up? Now, I love the way they played the last two games. Yeah, good, hard-fought playoff wins. That's what they were. And we know scoring goes down in the playoffs, but I don't know. What do you expect out of tonight? Is your confidence level high because of the way they played the last two games? Do you go into it like me saying, yeah, if they play this way, I'm confident, but I'm not confident they're going to play this way? I watch a Boston and Milwaukee. I watch, you know, Golden State play. You'll see those teams play really good games sometimes and lose because the other team just plays better. Rarely is it that the Sixers play a good game and lose.
My confidence level for tonight is no more than a 3.5, 4.
I'm actually, I don't want to say supremely, but oddly confident.
Wow.
I have a good feeling. I think Joel Embiid's return, aside from like points and defense and all that, I think it brought them a swagger. And I think it's going to be a different game in Miami tonight. I mean, he's on the flight. You know what I mean? And those games were winnable.
With wings.
Yes.
Did you see the wings? They were there.
Yeah.
By the way, a 50-piece? A 50-piece wings?
He's a large man.
That's a...
For who had them?
Well, Tyrese's chef brings them for Joel because Tyrese used to show up with them and Joe would hijack.
They share. They're not all for Joe, are they? 50?
I would imagine they share.
Yeah, you can't sit and eat 50 wings.
I couldn't. All right, Jamie, what could you...
I don't think those guys... I think 25 would be like my max.
Pat, you eating wings.
My max is probably about 15.
15?
I think I would be struggling at 20.
12. I think 12 is like the 10, sometimes the PJ's 10. It may be why I had to do co-pair. The 10 was maybe sometimes not enough.
That's a meaty wing, the PJ's.
Oh, it is.
Meaty.
It really is.
I don't know what Tyrese's chef is cooking up
and
here.
And delicious.
Might be those baby wings.
But yeah, I just, with him, I feel really good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to shoot as poorly in Miami again. Not saying they're going to shoot lights out like they did here, Danny and George. But I hate to say it, like, the series kind of comes down to those two.
But I don't know if Miami's going to shoot as well at home as they did the first two
I still
games,
can't believe he didn't play Duncan Robinson.
Danny Green, though, to me, I think he may have been the biggest reason games 3 and 4 turned around, and that includes Joel Embiid coming back.
Well,
now, it was a byproduct of Joel
exactly.
Embiid.
Yes,
but
he looks
Danny
locked
Green,
in.
Danny Green hitting his shots is.
And Kyle Lowry's hurt the Heat. I don't know how you can play him.
Like he's not playing tonight.
You can't play him.
You can. Anthony and I were talking about it yesterday.
I want him to also.
But he's hurting them.
Every shot that he took, I found myself saying, "Let him have that."
Yeah, and so did the Sixers find themselves saying that too.
How open he was, and I realized in the third quarter that I was kind of saying it because he was just so hobbled and labored.
I mean, and look, it's a valiant effort. I can root against him because he's a member of the Heat. I don't want to root against the guy. Like, I don't like seeing a guy.
I'm not rooting against him, the person. I'm rooting against the Heat member.
But it does not look like he is playing tonight.
He stinks right now. I mean, he's hurt.
They're bad. Not good.
And like I said, the reason my confidence level, Embiid's back, and they're a great team. They're a better team, so much better with him, obviously, and better than the Miami Heat. But you go back and you look at game 3 against Toronto. Game 3, where they won, but it was like, ugh.
I think the key to this game tonight is, and I really think having Joel in there will prevent this, not getting behind early. Just get out to a decent start, take advantage of no fans in the stands, they're all powdering their noses and getting pretty. Just get to a decent start, and that way you don't have to crawl back before halftime, you don't have to play the momentum game as much. Coming out of half again. Just get off to a good start, and I think things are going to be set for you.
Now, you believe, Jamie, that Joel may be really pissed tonight.
I do.
This seems to be the overwhelming story.
So
he takes it to a whole nother level because he's pissed?
Well, there's a slight concern. I don't want him forcing anything. I don't want him forcing for the sake of forcing to send a message. Be pissed, be motivated, but be focused. If you have to put up 10 assists tonight because that's what the defense is presenting to you, then do it. Dominate the game that way. Dominate the game defensively. You can dominate it in so many aspects of the game. Do whatever is required of you. Don't force bad shots. Don't force your back to the basket and get turnovers. Don't force it. Be a focused pissed. Don't be I have to score 30 pissed.
Yeah, I have to take over this game pissed. But you're right. It doesn't have to be that scoring thing. His presence alone makes this team so much better. You see when he gets the ball how they just swarm to him, Miami does. So it goes back to what Jamie said earlier, and it sounds simple, but it's the key to this series. Make shots. You're not going to get behind early if you make some shots. He's going to get double and triple teamed. When that happens, Danny Green, Tyrese Maxey, you have to hit shots. You got to hit outside shots and threes. And you should be okay tonight to weather any kind of storm Miami might throw at you.
Pat, you didn't give your confidence level for tonight.
Fairly confident. I'm probably
so you're above
65%.
Okay. Bob and I are below 50%.
As confident for them to win tonight?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm below 50. I would say I'm like 55.
Oh, wow. You're all above me.
I'm like an 80 spot.
You're all above me then.
So you don't think they win tonight?
Right now, it's no better than a coin flip.
Oh, come on.
It's no better than a coin flip.
Oh, come on.
What? So just go.
Yes, lie to the people.
No, I'm telling you what I feel.
Shake it for me, Johnny. Shake them. I'm
telling you what I feel. I feel that Miami's going to get a lot of calls. I think it's going
to
be.
I hope to God we don't even mention the referees tomorrow.
I doubt that'll be an issue. I doubt that that has any chance to happen.
So we won't be talking about it.
They won a game against Scott Foster. I mean, come on, John. Yeah.
I got a call last night from somebody in the NBA saying that I went on these airwaves crapping on the referees and giving stats about Scott Foster yesterday.
No, you didn't. I didn't say a word of it.
I said, I never even mentioned Scott Foster's name yesterday.
No, never once did I mention it. Jamie and I did.
I never mentioned stats with that. My point was, I hope to God that the referees and players can overcome all of this stuff going on
Jamie gave the stat. I updated it because it was positive for Scott Foster.
He's now 2-27
He's now 2
in James Harden CP3 games instead of 1-27
And I also said I hope that Scott, and I was the one who said I hope Scott Foster wasn't taking any phone calls right before the games discussing it. Bob, you didn't engage in that conversation at all.
No, I'm not trying to clear myself. It's just funny how people, I got a call saying something and I said, honest to God, Cooney crapped on the referees.
Nope. You didn't think that.
Hey,
listen better. And by the way, you can listen on the app. You can listen on the YouTube channel. In fact, there was some misheard audio that I'm going to share a little bit later on because sometimes people don't listen well. It's amazing. Hey, coming up in the next hour, one more win only gets you here. It's the John Kincaid Show. It's game day for your Sixers taking on the Heat here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Window Nation is having a graduation sale. So they said, look, your windows may be failing. They're not making the grade. You want to do some homework? Well, here's what I tell you to do. I always tell you to do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Window Nation, you can get to the head of the class with 0% financing for 5 full years. That helps your buying decision, doesn't it? Plus, you're going to get 2 free windows for every 2 that you buy. That's an even better deal. But 0% financing for 5 full years, that allows you to have the flexibility to be able to pay for those windows without paying heavy interest charges. Right now, you know the summertime's going to be hot. It is going to be terrible. And with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, over 1 million windows installed in over 150,000 homes, Window Nation is going to keep you comfortable this summer, keep your heating bills down the next 2 winters, but more importantly, the summer ahead, you'll be cool and comfortable inside. Take advantage of this great deal. 0% financing for 5 years. 60 months. Get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION. 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What happened to you over there?
What do you mean?
You look like
I just got some like chills.
Someone walked over your grave.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Something get in your Lululemon pants or something? Seriously. I don't know.
Maybe. Your Lulus were a little
gotta shiver down my spine.
That usually means I think somebody walked over your grave or something, so be careful.
I don't have a grave yet.
Will you be buried in the ground?
I'll probably be, I don't care. You don't care? No, not really, I'm dead.
You want to be put in a goat urn?
Yeah, that's cool. Put me in a goat cookie jar?
A goat cookie jar
that's
or whatever?
Fine. I mean, how much does a plot of funeral land cost?
Why are we talking about this?
Bob's freaked every time we talk about that.
I can't stand this talk.
Bob is totally freaked about that. I'd rather
be scattered over the ocean for free.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're going to take you out there? Yeah.
I mean, why would I... paying for a piece of land
so
to be buried
in? Who's
doing
that for you?
I don't know.
You're asking your kids to take the urn out and shake it at the beach?
Yeah.
Bob's very freaked about that.
I do. I don't like thinking about it. I like life too much.
I don't know what.
I like living.
Bobby, let's talk about it.
Call me strange.
You got to be prepared.
No, we do. We will call you.
I don't want to be prepared.
You're going to live.
I'll be dead.
You're going to live to be 130.
I might.
Our 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by the all-new Bet Parks app, sportsbook and casino in one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. You got to be 21. Plus 760 odds tonight. That's not bad. Embiid gets two dunks and one block.
Plus 760. If I had to bet on either of those, I would bet against the two dunks.
Well, you have to have them. They have to all happen.
Oh, okay.
They have to all happen, but it's plus 760 odds. Maximum bet is $10. So
DraftKings put out this morning, if we give you $20 to bet with, who are you putting your money on? And it's odds for each team. Honestly, as a gambler, I'm looking at it, it would be the Sixers. They're plus 1,600.
What, to win the title?
Yeah. I'm just talking strictly odds. Because, I mean, does a 2-1 Warriors or Suns bet do that much for you as a gambler?
Well, it gives you a chance to win.
Maybe. Plus 475. plus,
I understand.
Maybe plus 1,600. I mean, the Sixers should win this series, I believe. Then you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you got to play a depleted Milwaukee team or a really good Boston team. Get plus 1,600. I mean, we're talking about free house money. I'm not putting that on a favorite. I'm putting that on the long shot that's got a chance. You would put $20 on the Heat, the Warriors or the Suns?
Yes.
That's lame. So you get what, $45-$50 back?
Yeah, but I have a chance to win. Money. But I have a chance to win.
Yeah, that's great. I get like $320 from my $20.
No, you don't.
Oh, $20.
You'd have to have a win. You'd have to have a win.
Well, yeah, if they won, obviously.
They're going to win three more series? They're not even sure to win this one.
It's possible. Nobody's sure to win this one.
It's possible. Yes, it's possible.
Well, it's called gambling, John. There's no sure things.
Yeah, but I understand it. Yeah, but there are more sure things. There are absolutely more sure things to bet on. Like better odds. Significantly better odds.
Yeah.
If it's about winning.
The Suns and the Warriors are the two favorites, and they'd have to play each other to get to the finals. So
yes.
There's one of them eliminated. The Bucks and Celtics, one of them is eliminated. They both have better odds.
I wouldn't bet on the Bucks or Celtics.
You have to look at the landscape of how it's going to go.
Then why would you bet the Sixers? You just nod off those teams.
Because the odds are outrageous.
Yeah, but you're not going to win.
How do you know that?
That you're going to win three more series? Yes, I can. I feel pretty confident.
Well, I mean, you take the Sixers, and really all you need them to do is get to the Interconference Finals, and then you
sell it on PropSwap.
Because,
John, you can find the best odds and turn the hardwood into hard cash. Pick your favorite teams now. Sell your bet whenever you want, and it's all from your phone.
Okay,
head to PropSwap.com.
That was devious.
That wasn't
Jamie
my plan.
That,
when, that wasn't my plan when I brought it up.
I think it was.
No, because it's not scheduled until 8:45.
I actually had a buddy recently who was confident Joel Embiid was going to win the MVP. Couldn't find odds anywhere. Went to PropSwap. Found an MVP ticket.
Wish I sold mine.
Bought it right away.
Wish I had sold mine.
You could have just bought mine. Sixers getting three tonight.
Three?
It's like a...
It was three and a half yesterday.
That's a tell-me-nothing line.
It was three and a half yesterday morning. It's moved slightly towards the Sixers.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that a kind of tells-me-nothing line?
Hey,
what does it tell you, though, Jabba Bobby?
Nothing.
Hey, one more win tonight would match last season's disappointing playoff performance. Game to win your seventh playoff game. It would match last year's. The crash and burn against the Hawks. Game five, though, it's much more important than you think. Your odds of winning a game seven if you've lost games 1, 2, and 5 on the road is, by described by ESPN stats and information, is minuscule. Minuscule chance of victory in a game seven if you don't win the game five. If you've lost 1, 2, and 5 on the court, the odds of you winning game seven on the road in the same place you've lost the first three is minuscule odds.
So that goes.
You got to win tonight.
That goes to
the 84.
Whoever wins tonight wins the series.
It's minuscule odds. So you can't, because I guarantee you what's going to happen if the Sixers lose tonight. And then they come back and win game six.
Right.
You're going to have a bunch of people with the false bravado of, I'm very confident they win game seven. Yeah, and I'll be like, well, why? Can you explain to me why you'd be confident? Considering, like, the odds are almost, they're minuscule that you'd be able to win a game seven. Got to win tonight.
Yeah.
Put this away tonight.
But if they lose a hard-fought game tonight, come back and win here on Thursday in a fashion that makes you say, again, wow, they are the better team when they play their game. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not going to be confident for a game seven. I know all the numbers
though?
And all. Sure. I mean, look, if the Sixers play well tonight and lose and then come back here and win and play well again, like, look, when they play well, they're just the better team.
So are they going to have a chance to win a game seven in Miami? Absolutely. I have to look at how they're playing, though, the last two games.
Well, chance before is different than confidence.
Well, no.
I'm confident there's a chance the Sixers play a great game tonight and blow the doors off Miami. Am I confident that's going to happen? No.
I believe it's a different team, though. Like, game four to me is a game that they lose in the past. It got to 2 points at, like, what, 6-7 minutes remaining in the past?
I think it was 4 points in, like, 6 minutes, maybe.
I think it got to two at its lowest, yeah. Right when Tyler Hero hit a shot. I just felt like that was a game that they lose in the past. And I think it's a different team. The ghosts of the past are no longer with this team. I really believe that.
They exited after game two?
Well, Joel Embiid wasn't playing.
No, I got you.
So, everything's irrelevant if he's not playing.
I kind of throw game one and two out the window.
You have to. Yeah, we just can't. Look, you can't
forget. I think that's cherry picking.
You can't forget the recent past where, even with Embiid, they played horrible against Toronto.
Correct.
But Toronto has a really good defensive-minded team.
So does Miami.
Yeah, but Toronto's better individual defenders. Miami's a better team defend, if that makes sense. Because they switch the zone and Toronto tried it, but they're better individual defenders, Toronto, across the starting five.
I think
Miami has two and three guys you can prop. We're talking about Max Strus.
I got you, but they're better.
No, Tyler Hero sucks.
They got to go after him more defensively. They have to. It's ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense. If I see Tyler Hero getting those wide open shots again, it is. And by the way, every time I see Tyler Hero drive the lane, I lament the days of NBA basketball that I used to watch and the loss of it. Tyler Hero would never be doing that 15 years ago in the NBA. He never would have been doing it. And in today's day and game, let Tyler Hero go right in amongst the trees. Right, he would have been knocked on his ass in game one, and in game two, if he tried it again, and then he would stop trying. It is and that's part of what I lament about basketball today. That it's this, it's Matador defense. It's not even played.
Yeah, we're not calling for
have his team knocked out or anything.
Dirty.
Right.
But I said it in game. I think it was game two. I said out loud, he needs to feel a body.
Yes.
He needs to get bumped going down the lane. And look, if you get a flagrant or whatever, maybe I'm not talking about swipes to the face, a hip, a something he's trying to drive. You got to throw him off his course a little bit. Like, I'm not talking old school basketball.
No, not knocking his teeth out.
It's good basketball. He needs to feel something when he goes into that lane that he's not welcome there.
There's no penalty, Jamie. They don't in any way penalize him. He feels like he's got free reign.
That's because people get called for fouls for hand checking. You think they're going to go up and body somebody in the lane anymore? Like a James Hart, like PJ Tucker, for example. He's kind of an old school type of player.
I love PJ Tucker.
Some of the fouls they called on him the other night, I went, that's a joke.
It was a joke.
Like, they don't let him play anymore, so that's why guys don't rim defend and go up with it anymore, because they're going to get called. I mean, Joel's getting called for flagrance on a block attempt, and that's the way they call it. That's the rule. They're consistent with it, but, like, that's why guys don't defend the rim anymore.
When does P.J. Tucker come up, and how many years does P.J. Tucker have left? I would love to watch him on a daily basis.
Estevan, I've been talking about it for 4 years.
I would love to watch him on a daily basis.
I want that dude on my team. He's a really good defender. He's a tough-ass rebounder, and he's just a general pain in the ass.
Exactly. He's the kind of guy that every sort of club needs. He's like our Pat Egan. Very similar.
Yeah, he doesn't add anything really offensive, but, yeah, he's loud and obnoxious. Absolutely. He's a pest.
So, you don't like him, do you?
No, I do.
I
have a lot of respect for
him. Yeah, like I don't like him because they're playing him.
Right, exactly.
I would love that guy to be on my team. He reminds me of like a Patrick Beverley type, the guy that's going to let you know what he's thinking. I love that attitude.
I think that's what the Sixers are missing. I think that's what this roster is missing.
I wanted them to sign a year or two ago. I would have loved to have seen one of the Morris twins here.
Okay.
God, yeah. Okay. Now those guys I can't stand.
No,
now,
you would have. Yeah,
I hear you.
But if they were. Really?
Yeah, they're the most fake tough guys in the NBA.
They're pretty tough.
If you're talking about tough guys in the NBA, Pat,
they're two of my most despised NBA players.
I got you.
I hear you. I understand that.
PJ's a free agent this year.
It's also.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's how old is he? 37?
Oh, is he that old? I was thinking 33. I thought 35.
No, he played with Durant at Texas. I think he's probably 33, 35.
Oh, that's great.
Let's see. He is. Oh, he's 37. Okay.
Oh, sheesh.
How old's Durant now?
34?
Durant's like 33, 34 or something.
Okay, I would take PJ for next year.
I forgot I'm old.
I'd take him for next year to try to help this team get over the rim.
I can't have another unathletic guy on this team. I need somebody that can jump up and hit the rim from the foul line.
Yeah, you also need a bastard on your team. You know what I mean?
This team misses that.
Yeah.
This team is missing an edge.
Yeah,
this team doesn't have an edge.
That's exactly why I brought up the Morris, is maybe not specifically, but players like that had an edge that could give you 18 minutes that you know when you're in there playing against them, like, wow, this isn't going to be easy. I thought a bench piece like that would have been good. But now this team just is crying for athletic wing players.
Hey, protect your home with Dri-Tech waterproofing solutions. Fanatic listeners get 15% off when you mention Mike Missanelli. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at Dri-Tech. That's DriTechCorp.com. Just to give you a heads up, Phillies won last night. Connor got his podcast in late last night. He's had quite the day. 9-0, the Phillies win last night. The Phillies' next 3 weeks are absolutely brutal. 7 versus the Dodgers. After you leave Seattle, you get 7 versus L.A. Your 7 games of the year versus the Dodgers come up in the next couple weeks. You got 4 at the Braves, 3 at the Mets, and 3 versus the Giants, all before the calendar turns to June. You're talking about the toughest teams in the National League. You are going to play every one of those teams. You're playing 17 games before the end of May against the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, and the Giants. I'm worried this could end up being a barrel. You're already 13-16. You didn't take advantage of the bad teams when you had your chance to. You didn't take advantage of a Miami team to be able to just go get a sweep or win 2 out of 3. You didn't take advantage of being able to sweep out an Oakland A's team. You gave up wins, and then you played like crap in some others. This team is in danger. There's some serious danger. They could bury themselves before the month of June even comes.
Yeah, that's a real concern.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy on it. It's just the problem is that the schedule opens up so beautifully. I mean, you're talking about June, July, and August. The schedule opens up pretty beautifully. But you got to be able to get
this out of the way. You got to tread water, at least.
You got to get it out of the way. If you're talking about just after June 9th, you're not going to play the Brewers again. You're not going to play the Dodgers again. You're going to have played 4 of your 6 series versus the Mets. The schedule opens up. Question is, are you going to bury yourself where you're just trying to get back to, you're trying to get back to 500, trying to create some sort of energy?
Yeah, you need you need to claw your way out of this hole that you've kind of dug yourself. But I mean, that's the good thing. You look at the schedule, and I mean, the Brewers are. That's like my World Series pick right there.
That was before the series.
Yeah, they're really, really good. June 9th,
you're done with the Dodgers.
Love that.
You're done with the Brewers.
Thank you.
You are done 4 of your 6 series versus the Mets.
Yep. Yeah.
Schedule just gets easier.
Yeah, and I think they need that for confidence purposes. They need to kind of go in there and do what they did last night against a bad team. You need to beat up on a bad team. You can't just eke out a 3-2 win. You need to hammer them 9-0 and remind yourself who you really, at least who you are and who you're supposed to be. But at the same time, you do need to win one of these series against a good team. I think that's the ultimate confidence boost. You go into L.A. and you win.
If you go to the Dodgers, if they go to the Dodgers and win 2 out of 4, I will look at that as like you won a playoff series, especially if you took care of business against Seattle. If you go and sweep Seattle and then go to L.A. and win 2 of the 4 games, then I'm going to be like, okay, they got something sort of cooking here as they come back home. Well, and then you get the Dodgers again.
Can Wheeler and Eflin return for the Dodgers series?
Well,
they should be able to, right?
5-day. I heard
Sunday
Fransky kind of
is
explaining
it without
that the
symptoms?
Other day. I thought he said something about 5 days and whatever. So
theoretically,
they're lost for Thursday and Friday.
But they could pitch Saturday, Sunday.
Or Wednesday, Thursday, rather.
Wednesday, Thursday.
But you want to keep Gibson, Suarez, and Nola probably on timing. So I would think their first-time returning will probably be Tuesday and Wednesday home against San Diego.
Yeah, then I don't like their chances versus the Dodgers.
I mean, it's just, it's...
I mean, because you're going to have to throw at least one bullpen game. I mean, maybe you can move somebody up. I haven't looked at the schedule, but you're going to be faced with a bullpen game versus the Dodgers.
I don't need to see Christian Sanchez again.
No.
Nick Nelson. Let's start Nick Nelson.
Well, this is what drives me nuts is you know, they have guys in the minors, but they're not very good. So it's like you're in between a rock and a hard place.
Right?
And the guys that you do have that seem to have a little bit of talent have been converted to relievers. Like Mark Appel was the starting pitcher for most of his career. He's finally having success out of the bullpen. So you might have to go with a bullpen game for two of these games.
Yeah,
because you don't really have another starting pitcher unless you want to bring up Bailey Falter, who has lived up to his last name. He's faltered at the Major League level. And
I see what you did there.
And I'm not saying two again. Both players surprised to be positive. They're surprised. So they're guys that are now being put through this protocol that they're still doing. And they're being tested.
Yeah, they just don't have the guys at the higher levels of the minors that you can bring up. And
oh my gosh,
unless you want to bring up Andrew Painter from A ball,
no,
which no one's going to do.
No, I don't want to see a youngster. That. I don't want to see a youngster getting trashed either. Like just for the sake of getting trashed.
Yeah, I was joking.
I understand what you're saying. You said don't do it.
But that's the thing. Like they have obviously Mick Abel and Andrew Painter are their two best pitching prospects, but both are at Mick's at a high A, and Painter's at A ball. So you can't call those guys.
No,
up.
You can't.
Bullpen game versus the Dodgers. Woo,
man,
that's probably going to be your opening game.
Two of them. Woo.
No, not two.
Don't say two.
Only one.
Yeah, I think they can do it with only one. But it's going to be like batting.
Yeah,
practice.
They have Gibson, Suarez, and Nola already slotted in. So
they're all right.
You're going to have to do one versus Seattle.
And by the way, my ace goes tonight. This is what you do. You're on the road. Go take advantage of it against Seattle tonight.
He's never let you down in a situation where you could win a series.
He is going to come.
Why did you do that?
He's going to come.
He's
through
never done
tonight.
It. I'm saying, guys. What are
he's
you guys?
He's going to come through tonight.
I would hope. Seattle stinks.
My ace has been pitching. I think he's been pitching very well.
I think even if he doesn't come through, the bats will come through.
And then tomorrow afternoon baseball, you can go for the sweep.
That's the one I worry
about. You're taking a little team over today? That's what it sounds like.
Well, Nola's in the game.
Put your money where your mouth is,
Pat. I think Nola may dial up some nasty stuff today. I really was. I was confident coming into the year with him. And I think he's caused me to have more confidence in him.
Wow. Listen to John. He really loves him. Loves him some Aaron Nola.
I like what he's doing. He's not being the nibbler.
Welcome back, Johnny.
He's not being the nibbler. That's this nibble. Go for it. Attack batters. Let's get after it a little bit. We got a lot coming up for you. Hopefully you'll stick around. Jamie had a topic yesterday we never got to. But then a listener, Dylan, and not Dylan McKinnon, wanted to sort of ask the exact same question. That'll be our listener-directed segment of the day. Plus, so much more in the Sixers and the Heat. And Brian Dawkins at 8:30. Where else would you be hanging out? You stay with us. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I am enjoying life on Co-Pair. And I can tell you yesterday, I went to a buffet lunch. And it was fantastic. Because I'm eating a lot of protein right now. Eating a lot of dark greens, vegetables, salads, things like that. So it was perfect. I had it all laid out for me. It was excellent. Now, Co-Pair, I'm going to tell you, I'm being very honest with you guys. You got to be dedicated to it. But if you're dedicated to it, I promise you, you're going to see results. 7.5 pounds down, and now I go into this week, and I will weigh in later on today. Stop procrastinating. You can do it too. If I can do it, you can do it. And as long as you're dedicated, as long as you listen to your coach, Vance is my coach. We do our video calls together. He talks me through some things. I literally say to Vance, I am going here for dinner. Send me the menu. Vance tells me what to order. He picks my menu for me. It is absolutely awesome. And it helps. And they can help you lose. Most men, you can lose 3 pounds a week. It's going to be logical weight loss. It's going to be smart weight loss. But more importantly, it's going to be a change of mentality that's hopefully going to help you for the long term. I set it out. I wanted to lose 28. So right now, I am talking about getting towards that. I want to get below that 20-pound mark due. I found that today. So let's get down to business. Do it with me. Go to CopairHealth.com. CopairHealth.com. Give them a call today. And instead of carrying around all that extra weight, you're going to be looking great at the pool this summer.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Jockey Cage Show. Brian Dawkins joins us in an hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And if you've got problems with your building's water and wastewater pump system, visit PumpManPhilly.com. PumpManPhilly. The guys to know to fix your flow. Okay, there's a few things that bother me about goofing off and, like, you know, when we goof off around here. There is one thing, though. Being called a welcher bothers me. Will not be called a welcher.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because I will not welch on a bet. And Friday, Anthony Gargano says I agreed to be his butler.
I don't remember you agreeing. I remember him saying the butler bet, but I don't.
Yeah, the butler bet. We have the audio, though, so you can actually hear what went down at the thing. I wanted his meatballs. Oh, what did I just say that? I say no.
Speak it into existence.
You say yes?
I say yes.
You say yes.
I'll bet you.
Okay, we're having a bet.
All right.
I'll bet you $3.
Here's what we're betting.
No money. How about some of your homemade meatballs?
Tasks, yeah.
Homemade meatballs to take home.
Yeah, yeah. You got it, my mom.
I don't want to be sexy.
My mom, yes.
Bond over
and you
my
get
meatballs.
Yourself one of those candies.
I said bet.
Yeah, but
then
I said meatballs. And I said, let's bet some of your meatballs or something.
Let me just tell you, as somebody that worked with Anthony for a long time, the butler bet is his go-to. It never once gets paid off by him or the other person. It's at this point pointless.
Well, here's what I want to do.
It's always like, do something for. It's like that doesn't.
Okay, happen.
Do a sandwich bet.
I want to then. I like how Pat goes. I'll bet you $3.
Yeah, well, I love like it too.
And I like where I say, well, how about some of your meatballs? We'll bet some of this, and he goes, yeah, tasks.
Yeah, he agreed.
What
he
was
agreed
the bet that Embiid there would was play? Play?
Yeah, he, oh, okay, but there was no bet because we couldn't agree on what to bet on.
No, he agreed on his portion
his
of
bet.
It.
But he wanted meatballs.
He didn't specify what he wanted from you. He just said. Tasks. Well, what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. He's been saying it for 12 years. We've never paid one off to each other.
Here's what I would like to do, though, is I would pay off it.
Jamie's been here before.
I would make him a butler bet.
Yeah, sure. I've won bets with him in the past, and it's like, oh, why don't you come wash my car at my house? And because I'm busy, you know.
No, the butler bet could be.
Then let's bet something real.
Okay, let's bet something real. I think that we got to find something to bet on, though. And I'll bet him the butler bet. I mean, I'll get a tux. And wait on him during his show, where I would pay off a butler bet if we make. But we got to find something we can both agree on, where we agree on the terms, agree on the bet. But I'll do that. I'll wait on him for 4 hours. I'll be his intern in a tuxedo for the day. If he wants some hot tea, if he wants me to get him a sandwich downstairs, whatever it is,
yeah,
I'll gladly do that. So when we find,
do you
a
think
bet-
he's gladly going to come in at 6 a.m. and do the same for you?
Well, then that's what you would do, right, if it's a bet.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, there's the listener-suggested segment of the day.
I swear, it's coming.
Jamie, hit the button
right. And it's going to start right now.
Here is the listener-suggested segment of the day. Our perfect show just ended.
It fired off yesterday perfectly.
It was fine yesterday. Yeah, Connor was very on point yesterday.
You guys are great.
He was really good.
You have one bad half inning, and all of a sudden they're talking about sending a triple A.
One?
All right, this dovetails with a topic Jamie wanted to talk about yesterday that we never got to.
Yeah, Nick Wright brought it up, and I found myself agreeing with him for the first time ever.
But Dylan brought this up.
Hello.
Dylan is one of our listeners, and Dylan is...
Choo-choo.
Dylan's going to be a go-to guy if we ever needed to rent a fleet of vehicles.
Oh, nice.
He said that. If you guys would ever...
Next time I need a fleet, I'll reach out.
A fleet of vehicles. Bob, think about that. You and the boys, you might need it. Yeah. He says, I am so tired of these officials not having to explain themselves. What's the secrecy behind philosophy, guys having 2-27 records when they are referees against certain players in the postseason? Where's the accountability? I really believe, and it's already been proven, that there is corruption in officiating. At the very least, there is bias, whether it be to particular players or style of play. Not necessarily against the Sixers at all times, but I absolutely believe point spreads and over-unders are being manipulated. Jamie, you wanted the officials to have to talk. I love this idea. Why not? Why would you not have to be able to articulate your performance?
Yeah, I don't think it's something that they need to be open to journalists to grill them on every skeptical call. But I do think there should be some form of...
How would it be?
You know, I don't know.
A conference call?
I haven't thought about the details of it, but you never hear from a ref, ever.
How about...
Ever, in any way. So, like, well, maybe just some. They get their report cards.
I love your idea, Bob, the idea that Jamie's saying there. I'm not talking about standing them in front of the press corps.
No.
I think there should be like a Zoom call where the referees explain, like sort of like they get reviewed and they get scored. I would like somebody to say, Scott Foster had a crappy game last night. Here's the report card we gave him. He missed a lot of stuff.
And then
Scott, you want to talk about some of these things where he doesn't have to answer it to the press.
Sure.
But publicly held accountable.
And I think MLB should be the same way. Like when Angel Hernandez has a game where he's the worst thing I've ever seen. Where you at, Angel?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Like, explain it.
So they have a pool reporter. A reporter is assigned in the home city, a pool reporter that can go and ask a question if you ask the league after a game. You know, I want to ask the referees a question. And
how is that chosen, by the way? Who the person is, do you know?
I don't know. And I was never it, as far as I know.
You would ask hard-hitting questions.
I don't know. What are they going to say?
Well, no. Anthony goes, all right, this is the call. That horrible call the other night on Danny Green where he got called for the foul and he didn't even make contact. And here's the video. Here's every single angle of it. What happened? Like, what happened there?
I missed that one.
Just explain it there. Or was it Tobias Harris? I can't remember. It's
probably been a couple.
I can't remember which one it exactly was in game four. But just to be able to explain calls. But not. I'm not talking about being grilled by the media. But where it's public accountability to go, all right, here were the scores from last night. Our guys did a really bad job.
Yeah, like the Joel Embiid flagrant. If they just come out and say, well, that's the rule of the league and we're consistent with forearm contact to the head, at least it's public and acknowledged.
Yeah, they do come out with the LTMs, right? They come out with the last 2-minute reports.
Yes.
That they call LTMs, that they say, okay, in the last 2 minutes of the first half or of the game, yes, that call on Joel Embiid was not a foul. It shouldn't have been called. They'll come out with statements like that. But it doesn't do it doesn't do any good.
Angel Hernandez got roasted after that game, Pat.
He did.
And he got roasted even by his own metrics.
Yeah, and then
was shared with the public.
The MLB report comes out, and it's not as nearly as bad as we think because MLB gives a 2-inch margin of error, which is absurd. I like the idea of them having to at least talk to the media, but the reality is if they're going to be asked any questions by the media, it has to do with bad calls. And really, it's the media wanting to hear them own up to the fact that they were wrong.
That's why it can't be the media, because they'll be out for blood, probably.
Is that really
positive
for the sport? I mean, is it going to make me feel better if Angel Hernandez comes out after the game and says, yeah, I screwed up?
I don't know why owning your mistakes is a problem. I don't think it... I think it builds credibility, doesn't hurt it.
Yeah.
I have always believed that. I don't think that you, as a talk show host, to come out and say, man, I was completely wrong on that. I've never understood the it's going to hurt my credibility because I was wrong. I think it raises your credibility because you acknowledge, because we certainly pound our chests when we get it right.
Yeah. And
I've been known once or twice to celebrate when I get something right.
Oh, I've said some really dumb stuff.
You better be accountable, and we're very accountable on this show.
I've never said anything dumb, and Travis Fulgham is 6,000
yards. And the reason this probably came up is because in the day of age of legalized gambling everywhere, it's different than it used to be. People have more vested interest in a lot of these games, even out-of-market games. You know, if I'm watching something in Boston, Milwaukee that affects my spread,
yes,
that's a little sketchy. I go, yeah, what's the deal there?
Would
there
we, an honest question here, would we have as much talking point, as many talking points, or have as much, angst as we have about referees if the players weren't acting the way the players are acting?
Maybe not.
Like, I wonder, because I really want to figure out a solution of how to get things better here. I think the refs aren't great. I think the players aren't great.
Well, then start finding the players like, $1,000 for
every time they raise their hands and do this.
I don't know what the line is, but the demarcation line, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch.
It is.
Oh, it's really bad.
I talk to referees
they
and I talk to players
worse.
And I say to both of them, like, you both make it hard to watch. And that's not good. It's not good for any sports because we're there for the enjoyment of it. We shouldn't be talking about referees. We shouldn't be talking about calls missed or made or whatever it may be all the time. It just takes away from a great game.
Game 4 was sloppy and gross.
It was an ugly game.
And it's getting like that way, way too much.
Yeah.
That you know, the West Coast games seem to be a little bit different where they're not that much. But I don't know what
it
is.
Well, I think the style of play lends to it in the West Coast games.
Could be.
Hey, with Simplicity, their mowers give you your lawn a quality cut and the signature stripes you're looking for. Visit them at simplicitymfg.com/dealers to find a dealer near you. You know, what you need when you're debating like referees and stuff like that is very reasonable conversation, a very reasoned voice. Or you can talk to Mike from Delran.
Oh, wow.
Mike, how are you?
You always segue me that way. Like, what is that?
I don't know. I mean, I think you bring great energy. How about that? How about it? You need a guy with great energy.
I'll take that. That's fair. Hey, you know what? You're never going to get a referee to stand in front of a podium and with a bunch of people asking why they messed up calls. But I think a way to help remove the doubt, and you could probably do this for every sport but baseball, is mic up one referee every game. And not saying he's got to be mic'd up to where we can hear it on TV or people can hear it in the stadium. Mic him up so it removes doubt of whether or not they're, like, you know, conversing about shady stuff. You know what I mean?
If I knew
that every game at least one guy was mic'd up, I know that little group conversation between three refs.
It's like a body cam.
Correct. Isn't shady.
So the league gets to decide whether we hear it. So, like, the TV networks don't get to decide if you hear it.
Correct. But
okay.
What you could also do with that, which is funny outtake. I mean, people love that mic'd up stuff, and we could probably find some humor in some of the ref ones too, especially when players are getting out of control. But anyway, mic them up.
Get into us. Go Birds! I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That would be an interesting idea, but believe me, if one ref is involved in something shady,
the league's not releasing
it. Doesn't mean the other two, and it doesn't mean the other two are.
No.
As we've already seen. It doesn't mean the other guys have to be involved, even if they're getting like 74 phone calls right before games. Where they potentially were just checking in on each other. How you doing? Good. How you doing? Good.
Yeah, they were discussing an alias.
The fact that Scott Foster is not that was not dug into more is ridiculous. It's absolutely
strong unions, Johnny.
It's absurd.
Strong unions.
It's absolutely absurd to just that's crazy. There's nobody who's calling a coworker on games they're not even working. Let's have a 35-second phone call. See, you know, they get that 35-second phone call.
How's the fam? How's the kids?
How's the kids? And that was not Bob Cooney saying that. That's me. Brian Dawkins today at 8:30. In the linchpin, Jamie found another podcast he wants to listen to, and it's not Anthony's.
This is the linchpin.
You listen to Anthony live.
Yeah, on the ride home and picking up Skyler and all that. But yes, yesterday, a guy that we know pretty well here because he stole money blind from John Middleton by the name of Jake Arrieta. announced yesterday he's officially retired from baseball.
Wow.
Which, for some reason, he drug out into this season.
I think baseball let him know that he was officially,
he was officially out.
Yeah. So he announced yesterday that he's going to do a bi-weekly Barstool Sports baseball podcast. I have to preface this because it's the day and age we live in. I don't hate him as a person. I hate him for what he represented as a Philadelphia Philly.
No, okay.
I don't know him as a person. Pat, he might be lovely.
You can't stand him.
I kind of hate him. Sports hate.
Yes.
I would still listen to the podcast.
Really?
I find the current athlete / right out of the game ex-athlete podcast fascinating. And a pitcher, I haven't heard a lot of guys get into the nitty-gritty of pitching. The relationship with the ump, the relationship with the catcher, you know, how they pitch different guys, study, film, prep. Like, all that stuff kind of fascinates me. And I've never really heard somebody get into the nitty-gritty details of it. And even though I hate them, I think I would listen. And that kind of fascinated myself. Like, oh, I hate this guy, but I'd actually give him my time and listen. So I just kind of surprised myself a little bit.
Every time he talked, my ears bled as a Phillip.
As a player.
I think he was condescending.
He was.
I think he was arrogant.
He was.
And I have no interest.
Which
None.
Makes it all for the better of a podcast.
So you're sort of hate listening.
I think he might be brutally honest about things.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't about his own performance. He wasn't about his own expectations.
Well, because he was still competing. He's not competing.
So why do I expect
anymore?
Him to be brutally honest about that? When you can't evaluate yourself honestly, I don't expect him to be honest about evaluating anything
He was
else.
Competing. He still thought he was better than he was. I don't really care what
Handcuffs
he said.
Handcuffs are off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. A guy that was that way before, John, I think might
lend to
Jamie's point. Might
good
lend
truth.
To, yeah. Might lend to being a good podcast.
You listen
It'd be
to
interesting.
That?
I'd give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot. I don't know if I'm going to be dialing in every week, but the Barstool does do a pretty good job of identifying ex-athletes who would be good for this sort of thing. Like that Bustin' with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan is really good. And it's kind of similar. You've got like an ex-athlete who's on his way out, and then you've got Taylor Lewan is in it. And just the stories that they tell. I mean, I find the stories more fascinating than their analysis, honestly. So I would be very interested to hear some of this the tales that he has of baseball more than anything.
Yeah,
I did go back and listen to some of after the Great Friday performance, and I was doing stuff around the house, and I put on
The
Old Man in the Three.
Yeah, it's his podcast,
and I went and listened to some of that. I listened to him. I listened to the Ben Stiller. He had Ben Stiller on like a week ago talking about, there was one talking about Mike D'Antoni. So I was just hopping around and just listening to conversation.
Embiid was on like 2 months ago.
Embiid one was good conversation.
He's better in a game. He's better doing that game analysis thing. But I found it interesting when you talk about the ex-athlete.
Yeah.
He does have some really interesting insights on what this guy's up to, like to go against.
Yeah.
What this coach is like to go against. I think he's got a fascinating edge on it.
Arrieta has seen some great hitters. He's pitched in World Series. I think some of that insight would be pretty fascinating.
I think the one thing is he'd need a strong.
There is a co-host with him that I think the person that's going to drive it.
Oh, there is?
I think, yeah.
There's got to be. It can't just be Jake Arrieta.
It wouldn't just be him. No, they're not that dumb.
Because the guy who's doing JJ's isn't. Doesn't have a strong co-host.
It's a guy, Tommy Alter.
Tommy. He's not strong. He's there to like, hi, JJ. What are you talking about, JJ?
It's like his buddy. He's tied into the NBA circles and a lot of,
It's different. I'd like to hear these guys with somebody to really get the most out of them.
That's a credit, though, to JJ, and that's a credit to, like, Spit and Chicklets. Those two guys, when you sit there and you go, the co-host is along for the ride, I think that's a credit to them being so good at their job. Because if I'm listening I'm listening for the former athlete. I'm not listening for the co-host.
Right.
And if I'm sitting there going, man, this guy needs a good co-host, that means the athlete isn't very good. You
see,
know?
See, I look at it as more as...
The RA guy's horrible.
I look at it as you, the co-host, can tell, dude, you're wandering and you're wandering.
Yeah, and...
You went on 3 minutes on something that wasn't necessary.
That's more of the job of the producer,
and
right?
And focus. Yeah, but the producer can't be doing it in the middle of a conversation. When they're in the middle of a story, a co-host can sort of guide it.
You're not wrong in what you're saying. I think we've gone on this conversation too long. Let's segue into something else.
And we can do that. The Sixers tonight.
There you go.
On the Fanatic. 7:30, game 5. Game 6 on Thursday. So you get two nights in one this week, which is great. You got that, Bob.
Two nights in one?
You don't
it
know
sounds
that
familiar. Yeah. What is it? Is this a dollar
coach,
in a jar
coach,
thing?
Coach, do you know? Two. It's not two nights in one.
Oh, no. Is this another
Coach,
jingle?
Do you know it?
No.
Howard Johnson Motels.
Certs.
Huh?
Do you even know what certs are?
Oh, yeah. They were good.
They had the 1 minute.
It was like a lifesaver
the
with
and
the thing,
1 minute
yeah.
in. It was
they were good.
Two mints in one.
Certs were good. I actually really liked those.
Okay.
The look on Bob's face is just priceless. It's like, what?
What were certs?
It's like, what? There were
they
mints.
Were like, they were like little lifesavers that were filled in.
They filled it with another
mint. Wintery fresh.
Middle. Yes, it was very wintery fresh.
They were good.
By the way,
bring back certs.
By the way, do I think I came to the conclusion yesterday that I am not going to, I always look for reasons to not spend money. I'm not buying new clubs. After playing golf yesterday in the Montcoa golf outing, which was fantastic. That Green Valley, absolutely beautiful. I never saw the Green Valley, though. Which hole was it on?
It was all the valley.
It was all on it?
Yeah.
See, that's tricky.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
We traveled into the valley.
I don't think I'm buying new clubs, though. Because I don't think my game's good enough to warrant them. And I don't think I need them. My clubs aren't holding me back.
No, my brain's holding me back.
And I hit some good. Now, Bob, yours sounded like a rattlesnake. Bob,
yeah, my three wood or something is broke.
Every time Bob took it out, it was like there was a snake. I'm looking
at the wood's broken. Just call Dr. Avi Don Appel.
That's yes. What I told him on the course yesterday.
Not one Appel. Wood, not two, but three wood is broken.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah,
Every time you took it out, it was like a snake, huh?
There you go.
It can be rock hard with Dr. Avi Don Appel.
Hey.
There you go.
Brian Dawkins joins us at the bottom of the hour. Plus, we'll take a visit to Jamie's World. It's a very, very strange place. How much of a 8-ball are the Sixers behind tonight? Well, we'll get to that next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I've got a special odds boost for you from the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Go to betparks.com. The Sixers tonight, a 3.5-point road underdog. You can still get the hook on the Bet Parks app. But also, they have their special 760 odds boost. Plus 760 tonight for all customers. You don't have to be a new customer. Joel Embiid to have over two dunks and over one block in tonight's game. Where are you leaning on that? You can have up to a $10 bet on it, but at plus 760 odds, you are going to be kicking some booty tonight. There's no promo code required, and it's for all customers on the Bet Parks app. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey to take advantage of this. If you think the Sixers are going to win tonight, maybe you just bet the money line. If you're a little wavering about it might be a close loss, take the 3.5 points. Go to betparks.com, Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Halfway home on the John Kincaid Show. Brian Dawkins comes your way in a half hour. Our 8 a.m. sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. There was a poll completed.
Bet there was.
Very good there. Yeah. Of over 3,000 Americans about stuff that asking people what do they believe are like some conspiracy theories that they actually believe in. Three of the top five, the moon landing, there are a lot of people who believe in that, that never happened.
Okay.
And that is one of the popular ones. There were three, though, that made the top five list.
Oh, boy.
Now, this is 3,000-some Americans, so it's supposed to be pretty good numbers. That the government knows reincarnation is real.
Really?
That when people die, not that they come back as animals, that they come back as birds, they come back, that humans come back as humans, and the government has facts to back this up.
And how would they prove a
They know
spirit?
It. The government knows this.
How?
That, like, if you die, Jamie, you come back again as a baby and live again, because so many people have had experiences where they're able to talk about past lives that they didn't leave.
Well, talk to Bob.
It's a whole past life thing. Now, Bob is JFK.
He's JFK.
I
was JFK. I'm no longer JFK. I was JFK. Yes.
There was a kid, I think, in Romania or something, but he knew everything about Ted Williams.
Like, really?
Freakish information
Did
about
he have
Ted
the
Williams.
Internet?
No, like, it wasn't a situation where he could have fact-checked and researched the stuff. I'm talking like he was like 7 years old.
And he knew everything about Ted Williams.
He was recalling stuff about Ted Williams, and his parents looked it up, and it was a crazy story. But yeah, he knew freakishly factual information about the Hall of Fame hitter.
All right, the two of the other ones are great. Well, one of them you're going to be able to guess. The government already knows that there are aliens among us right now.
Yeah, there's definitely lizard people out there. Yeah,
do believe that on the face of the earth right now, there are aliens that are living among us as humans.
Yeah, his name's Kanye West.
You think it's Kanye?
Yeah.
That there are aliens? Not that they're living. Not that they.
Have
by
you
the
seen
way,
Mark Zuckerberg?
This doesn't mean that they're coming down in spaceships. This means that there are people that we think are human beings that are truly alien.
Well, how do you define alien? Were they birthed or whatever on another planet?
Yes, they're visitors from another planet.
How did they get here? It must have been.
That's what
spaceship.
I said.
I mean, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg might be aliens.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, I've always wondered too. The pyramids.
Yeah, that's
there ain't any way the pyramids can be explained to me. There's no way you can explain to me how people didn't drag them with ropes, those giant stones.
Yes, they did, John.
You can't do that.
The history books said they did.
But they could never recreate it and show me how you did it. There's something, I think something was weird there. How about this one, though? This one shocked me, that there have already been cloned humans.
I mean,
you sound like you believe it.
I can buy that
I
one.
Can't, yeah, I mean, I think that's the
you
most believable.
You believe there are cloned humans that are out there?
That's the most believable one.
You think that's the most believable one?
Yeah.
Nobody would have talked about that?
Yeah, that's what I find.
Like, nobody would have spoken about that.
Who would have talked about it?
Everybody in science that does anything brags about it.
I mean, you might be looking at it like clone as in, like, you as you now, not you as a baby. You know, like, taking, like, I can believe that somebody took Jamie's cells and made a baby Jamie out of them. And that baby didn't really survive very long. I can buy that.
You can believe it, really?
Yeah, I can buy that. Yeah, my mind can wander.
That's the most believable for the two of you of those scenarios.
The most believable, yes.
Is that the most believable for you?
No, I don't believe any of them.
You didn't believe? Bob didn't believe any of them.
Bob just believes in sports and sex.
No, that's not true.
Well, no. He believes
Let's go off the list. Do you have a conspiracy thing that, like, do you think OJ didn't kill? Anybody think OJ didn't kill his ex-wife?
No, I absolutely believe OJ killed
Nicole Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Ron Goldman.
I absolutely believe that.
R.I.P.
But I also believe OJ was set up.
But they've cloned animals, right?
Yes. They've cloned the goat.
Yes. Yeah, so why?
Yeah, Dolly the sheep.
They cloned the goat, Jamie.
Dolly the sheep.
Dolly the sheep was it? Jamie. There it is. That's Dolly. That was her.
But if you can clone a sheep, I mean, a human can't be that far away. Right?
But now, why do you make that conclusion?
I mean, they have all the major organs. Their brain's not as developed, but I mean, they have the organs that we have. They have blood and lungs and...
Just saying.
I believe they cloned the human. I just don't think that human survived.
Yeah, I don't think clones
Why
are walking around.
Why would they not
around,
survive?
They just don't have...
It's still a work in progress.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, John. I'm just a conspiracy theorist.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, John. That's it.
For you, okay? I wasn't at the room in Area 51 doing all this.
Area 51,
is it legal? two clone human beings?
No.
Well, then that's why they don't talk about it.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Keep it a secret.
Now I'm believing it.
Area 51's real. I believe in aliens.
Well, yeah,
100%.
You know, we know someone who guests on this show who's been to Area 51. Shaquille O'Neal.
He's been like
he has been inside the he has been inside the gates.
Oh, that's weird.
He has never been.
Did he say it's a bug out?
He's an alien.
He has never been never been inside to see anything.
What did he say about the vibes of it?
That it's so top secret and so crazy. It's weird. Like it's but he didn't get to enter any of the secret buildings and everything. He says you wonder what the hell's going on there.
They let him in the staff lounge.
That they've got those buildings. I think it's war stuff. I think it's stuff to prepare for. Like where they
an intergalactic war or a global war?
Whatever. I think it's we're working on
probably
stuff,
both
defense. But the thing is, he says the buildings are, but he's never been beyond just getting through the game.
Weird vibes is all I needed to hear.
Plenty of weird vibes. 76ers talk about weird vibes. They're 0-4 in their history after they lose games 1 and 2 on the road and then win games 3 and 4 at home. I don't know what that stat means because this Sixers club, as constituted, has never been in that situation. So I tend to think that is irrelevant. But I wonder, is this more relevant? Should we look at it this way? The Sixers are 2-0 in the series with Joel Embiid. How much are you disregarding the first two games heading into tonight's game in Miami? Because honestly, for general periods of time in games 1 and 2, that team was completely listless in Miami. They would have a run, and then they would just go absolutely limp. Dr. Avi Donapel could help them, I guess, but that's what would happen. How much are you disregarding games 1 and 2 just because Embiid didn't play in them? My guess is you're disregarding them more than I am.
I'll disregard them. I don't care, one loss, whatever. You have to disregard because that's a different team. So that's why I disregard them.
The 0-4 I don't care about.
Yeah, I'll disregard the first two games of the series. That was a different, far different team than what you have on the floor now. However, and these stats about they're 0-4 after winning or losing games 1 and 2, whatever. You're right, John. That has nothing to do with this team. What I go back to is, and what concerns me is that even with Joel Embiid, they had some bad showings in that Toronto series. And it wasn't so much Toronto. It was the Sixers. They just
didn't play
well.
Well, Game 5 was the worst that I can remember.
Even Game 3 when they win with Embiid's, a shot, I thought they played terribly that game. So that's the concerns that I have. But the fact that when you have a full team, you play two pretty good games. I lean on that more so than I do anything that had to do without Embiid.
I throw out Games 1 and 2 entirely. I mean, it's just a different team with him compared to DeAndre Jordan. It's not a coincidence, games 1 and 2, that the Heat went on runs in the first and third quarter. I mean, only somebody that would deny reality would continue to put that man back in. It took a roasting from the national media, local media, him being questioned about it, and Joel Embiid returning for him to probably realize he was wrong. I mean, I'm not saying Paul Reed.
He'll never admit it.
No, he won't. And most coaches probably wouldn't. But I don't think coaches would admit they were wrong like that. I don't know any coach that would admit that they cost their team in games 1 and 2 by playing somebody who's not capable of playing.
He was willing to take such a soapbox about it, though.
He's done it.
I think you do then have to revisit it.
You get so far dug in that you have to.
Yeah, I think
he dug in on it and he did it, but he knows he's wrong. I think that when you take that podium and you take that stance, the fans here are stupid, fans don't understand basketball like I do, and whether you like it or not, we're doing things my way.
And you talk about J.J. Redick. I mean, J.J. Redick came out and was like, look, DeAndre's a friend of mine. We're close. He can't play in this series. Like, he basically said the same thing.
Yes.
And you can say, I'm an idiot all you want. That's a guy that played with him, that's friends with him, that has seen every level of basketball. He knows it. I mean, it was just obvious. So it's a completely different team. It's probably not right I completely disregard it, but I completely disregard it. He changes everything.
So tonight, Pat, I should expect to see a Sixers team tonight that plays at a frantic high level the entire game. Great energy. Great, and not look like anything like they did in games 1 and 2.
You should. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in lockstep with Jamie on this. I kind of throw out games 1 and 2. I was yelling at my TV when when Bam left and he checked out after the fourth foul, yeah, it's different playing against the best center and not the worst center. Because in reality, like, that's exactly what he went. He went from playing the worst center in the league in DeAndre Jordan to playing the best center. And a center where the offense runs through him. It's a completely different team. Will they win tonight? I have no idea. I mean, you know, the shots could go cold and Miami could get hot from three. They were extremely cold from three in game three. So, you know, things could change, but I think the team will look better. This Sixers team will look better than they looked in game one and two.
By the way, if you're annoyed by the Ringer and their whole, like, Jokic love, I did not listen to I don't listen to a lot of Bill Simmons' podcast. I admire the guy as an entrepreneur. I think he's freaking fantastic at what he's built for himself. But they love Bam Adebayo. They are all over him at the Ringer. They think he's, like, spectacular also.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't.
I mean, he's solid. He's
a
good.
Solid player. He's a good player. He's a good player.
I really like him.
But they talk about him in. Like
ESPN, the magazine, once, I think it was just 2 years ago, had Bam rated ahead of Joel Embiid.
Oh, that's just so stupid.
Like, some guys just get this love, and Bam's cool. He's got a good nickname. He's good.
What do you love, Bob, about him?
Well, there's athleticism. There's movement. There's, if you're going to, look, you're going to directly relate it to the best center in the league. So, a couple years ago, Adebayo was this guy who, wow, look at this guy. He can take Joel Embiid away from the basket and beat him off the dribble and different things like that. I think Embiid has caught up to that quickly. Nobody else was doing that to Joel Embiid before. Adebayo challenged him that way a couple years ago, and I think people were like, whoa, look at this. He's a nice player.
Oh, no, I think he's a really good player.
He's better than nice. I think he's a really
They talk about him on the Ringer like he's...
Oh, he's a top three center.
He's an elite,
in the league.
Like elite of the elite.
Well, for his position, he is in the current NBA.
I watch him against Embiid, I never get that.
It's him, Karl Anthony Towns, Jokic, and Joel probably is the top four centers. Maybe I'm missing some. DeAndre Ayton doesn't really do much for me.
I mean, Adebayo had a nice game the other night. He went for 21.
He's a really good player.
He had much better offensive game on game four.
He went for a quiet 21.
You didn't really realize it. You're right, Pat.
And he was in foul trouble most of that game. I mean, John, you're taking into account, you're watching him against the best center in the league.
No, that's what I mean. You know, but the thing is, if you're elite of the elite, if you belong in that discussion, he's been owned.
Yeah, he has.
So I mean, to me, that tells me you don't belong in that discussion.
But I think he belongs in the top five centers in the league conversation.
Oh, no, that's what I said.
Is he on Embiid's level? No, there's levels to this game, and he's not there yet. He's really good, though. But that just tells you how good Joel Embiid is.
Hey, it's one thing to build a truck. It's another to build a legacy. The Ford F-Series is the best-selling pickups in America for 45 straight years. Check them out at buyfordnow.com and at your local Ford store. The Sixers tonight on the Fanatic, the only place you need to be. Right after the Mike Missinelli show, you've got it. You'll hear it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens gets you ready for all the action. And then Tom McGinnis. Live from South Beach. So Tom McGinnis this morning.
For Pete's sakes.
Maybe he's heading out to the Big Pink for breakfast, taking a little walk in the beautiful sunshine.
Tom did something interesting when we were on the road that he liked to do.
What did he do?
So during your days, you know, you got to pass time. Some of us would go for walks, museums, whatever it is. Tom likes to go to courts and watch cases be tried. Yeah. And likes to watch cases be tried. Yeah,
I thought it was really interesting. Did he go to law school or have an interest in it?
He just has an unbelievable interest in it. Yeah. I remember.
Kind of fascinating.
I think that's fascinating. Where
were we? I think we were in Boston one time and we were getting together to go, I don't know, probably for a walk, I think. And we tried to get in touch with Tom, and he told me, he says, "No, I'm going to court today." I said, "Oh, what happened? Everything all right?" He goes, "No, I just like to go watch."
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty funny.
That is interesting. Hey, yeah. Dana in Cinnaminson joins us. Dana, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Dana. What's going on?
Nothing. I actually never called into your guys' show before.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm on my way to work. But I just wanted to say, like, me and my husband were cracking up because when Embiid came back to the third game, Bam Adebayo looked so average. And it was just, like, it just was, like, so awesome. I was just, like, it just makes me so proud to have Embiid. And, like, I was so disappointed when they announced the MVP because I think that, like, I just told my husband, I was, like, I admire Embiid so much because he loves Philly. Like, he is through and through, like, dedicated to us. and dedicating to trying to win a championship. And to me, that character stands out way more than whatever Djokic is doing.
Dana, who's worse when you're watching a game, you or your husband?
Me, I can't, like, when, like, the second game, the fourth quarter, I just, like, left. My anxiety and just angst gets so high. Like, my husband can watch it through and through. I'm like, I cannot.
Do you pace?
What?
Do you pace?
I don't pace, but, like, yes, I do, because I'll go in the kitchen, I'll, like, do stuff, so I will have to
there you
directly
go.
Watch.
Well, that changes the luck, too. When you go to the kitchen, it always changes the luck.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Dana.
Yeah,
thank you for joining us.
All right.
There you go. Great energy there from Dana this morning. I love how people think there's things like, too, that can, like, I pace during a timeout. TV timeout. I'll get up, I'll walk around, and then sit down again and watch it. I don't pace watching it.
I don't pace during basketball.
At the end of a game, I'm anxious.
Football, I'll pace if it's like a 2-minute drill.
Oh, my gosh.
Baseball, I never pace.
I do watch sometimes standing up, watch football games.
Yeah. Basketball doesn't get me off my ass.
I just get up to get another beer.
Bob just goes and gets another beer.
Yeah.
Hey, let's start a fire.
Let's visit a place called Jamie's World.
Oh, God.
Let's find out what's in Jamie's World. Jamie's
World. All right, this has to do with a buffet. So I took...
right up my alley.
Yeah, I took my mother, supposed to be my mother-in-law, but she had a migraine. My wife and the two girls out to Sunday brunch for Mother's Day.
Okay.
Lovely spread. I go back and get a Caesar salad. So it's the non-dressed Caesar bowl with dressings and croutons on the side, cheese, all that. So I plump up the plate with lettuce. There's a piece of the iceberg hanging off a little bit, you know, where the middle piece is on. The flat was hanging off. So I'm going to do the dressing, the sprinkle, and the piece falls into the dressing bowl. Is the best situation, which is what I did, just to walk away and leave it?
Yes.
Because if you use the dressing scoop to try and get it out, then you're getting too much dressing on your thing, and then you look like a weirdo. If you use, you'd have to go get a new fork to scoop it out. You can't use your own fork.
Leave it.
Right? But then it looks gross for everybody else. You call somebody over?
You just dish another spot where there's no piece of lettuce in there. Right? By the way,
I don't know. If I'm coming up to a dressing bowl and I see a piece of iceberg floating in there, I get a little skeeved.
I will tell you this. A Caesar salad where you're putting dressing on it after is not a Caesar salad.
Well, you have to toss it on your plate.
Caesar salad must be, the dressing's already not supposed tossed to be put on after. It's supposed to be part of the process, so I consider that a fugazi Caesar salad.
But what are you supposed to do? Am I supposed to go alert somebody? Because if I walk up to a dressing bowl,
it's a piece of lettuce,
and there's lettuce in there, I get skeeved.
Why?
I don't know. It's just kind of gross. Anybody with me on that?
No.
Yeah, you're on an island here, bud.
No.
Salad
bars make
the salad
these
bar, man. Like, there's going to be bacon in this dressing sometimes.
It's a dedicated dressing ladle.
What kind of desserts do you have with this thing?
Exactly.
Could you not have gone back and gotten a fresh fork and fished it out yourself?
I had to, but then if you're digging into a dressing bowl with fork, then you look like a weirdo and it looks like a whole
bowl
stain.
Why do you care? I don't believe anybody else would be skeeved.
Buffets are kind of, you know, I like them. There's a ski factor.
We had the
can't see somebody digging around a dressing bowl.
Yeah, you're right about that, Bob.
No, that's a good point, James.
Clean or not,
just
you don't
leave it be. Nobody is freaked out by that.
No, I think people are with me that it's a little skeevy to see the floating
lettuce
in the dressing
bowl. You're the weirdest person on the show, so could you give us a little bit of insight as far as the skeevy factor?
Wait, let's have a vote on that one. Who's the weirdest person on the show? Is it Coach, in fact?
No, I wouldn't be skeeved out by that. I think
a piece of lettuce? Nobody's skeeved by that.
Yeah, then you gotta fish around it.
Nobody's skeeved by it.
It's a communal dressing bowl. I don't want lettuce in there. What if somebody touched the lettuce?
By it?
I bet you.
Nobody's touching the lettuce.
You don't know what people do.
I kind of understand his skeeve factor here a little bit. Yeah. Like, it looks tainted.
Yes.
Yes, let's put it that way.
Pat, weirdest person on the show?
Oh, Coach.
Coach,
we love you, though.
Well, here's the thing. If the lettuce remains on the edge there for a little while, it starts turning brown.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you're talking
about... How long does it turn brown?
Now you're out.
Kevin Greaser on YouTube. I totally get freaked out by
that. How long is it going to... It's not going to turn brown in 3 hours?
In there?
Four hours?
It's a buffet, so you can go and refill your plate. Who doesn't know if that was on your plate and now it fell off? So, the ski factor is real, right? Jamie Lynch. So I'll give you that.
If you scoop up the dressing and you get a rogue piece of lettuce on there, you're going to dump that on your plate?
No, I'm not getting it, but I can see the dressing.
Well, what if it sunk under and then you pull a piece of lettuce out?
What if it went under?
That's disgusting.
You're unbelievable. I think you're nuts.
I think the moral of the story here is don't go to the salad bar at a buffet.
Salad bars are not good.
But what do? You just leave it?
You get dessert.
Here's what I would say.
You just leave it and walk away?
The ski factor of a buffet, of a salad bar is already there. It's built into the concept. Of the salad
bar. That doesn't mean it has to get skeevier.
Salad bars are skeevy to begin with.
Absolutely.
They're skeevy.
This is a buffet. It's different than a salad bar.
We can ask Brian. Brian.
Do you think Brian Dawkins? I don't think Brian Dawkins is eating at salad bar.
He would Terry Tate somebody's ass if he saw somebody digging in a dressing bowl.
I guarantee he goes to the Sizzler.
We got Brian Dawkins back with us. He's coming up. Talk to one of the most legendary Philadelphia athletes ever. He's got a big event coming. What's he think about this Eagles offseason and more? John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. You get spring cleaning? Well, H&H Heating and Air Conditioning wants you to know that cleaning your house starts with cleaning the air that your family breathes. And I love what H&H Heating and Air Conditioning did for us. They installed one of their new air scrubber and micro power guard air cleaner systems. And all I can tell you is there will be random times when I'm walking in my house and I am hit with just the beautiful smell of fresh air for a limited time. Get $200 off the air scrubber system. You're going to breathe easier, knowing it helps eliminate harmful contaminants and airborne particles. Helps you fight allergies and viruses. The spring allergies are a mess, but your air conditioning system, that HVAC, needs to be ready for the summer. So schedule yourself an early bird central air conditioning tune-up from H&H Heating and Air Conditioning for just $99. Make a relationship with these folks. You can meet them in an emergency or you can meet them now, do proper maintenance, and save yourself time and hassle later. Find out more about H&H's indoor air quality solutions. Schedule an air conditioning tune-up. Visit DelcoHVAC.com. That's DelcoHVAC.com. Would you please tell them, John Kincaid sent you?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. A fantastic Game 5 Tuesday. Tonight you'll hear all the action right here on the Fanatic. Game 5 between the Sixers and the Heat. Done a lot of Sixers chatter this morning. But when this man shows up, it generates great interest from all of us. Legend of the Philadelphia Eagles. We go to the Comcast Business Hotline, where every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Mr. Brian Dawkins got up early with us this morning. Is this early for you, Brian, or late? I mean, what is your schedule like on a daily basis now?
It is not. I'm blessed. First of all, good morning.
Good to hear you.
It is not. Usually I'm getting up early. I take my girls to school in the morning, so I have to get up about an hour to do some of the things that I like to do before then. So I get up around 6 o'clock.
Do you fix hair ever? Some dads know how to fix hair. Are you one of those dads?
I'm horrible at it.
I've tried it. it's not something that I excel at. I'll say it like that.
I'm trying to figure out things Brian Dawkins isn't good at. And that was one I thought I'd be able to nail there. You've got a big event coming up. And it's the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament coming up May 17th. From 7 to 11 p.m., you will have the soiree the night before the big event. Tell us a little bit about this soiree. Soiree and Brian Dawkins, you seem so impactful, so physicality. Soiree is sort of like a fancy boy word. I'm shocked.
Get a little suave, right? She's just coming in. But really, it's about having a good time with the guys, having a lot of the guys to come back in town to trip out, to be honest with you, but also, again, for a great cause, my foundation. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys I haven't seen in forever and being blessed to have some of these guys come back once again to come to enjoy some meals, to enjoy some drinks, all those things. I'm extremely excited about it.
I see Donovan McNabb, John Runyon, Bobby Taylor, Willie Thomas, Jeremiah Trotter, Troy Vincent. I mean, you that's just part of the star-studded crowd coming out for this event.
Yeah, I think Brian Westbrook will be there.
Our buddy Trey.
Eddie George will be there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A lot of guys. Tim Brown will be there. So it's a lot of guys that maybe fans won't get a chance to meet any other time. And so they'll be in the house, and hopefully we'll sell out all those tickets. And then once again, it's going towards the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation.
Go to ImpactCharityClassic.org. ImpactCharityClassic.org. That comes up on May 17th, a week from tonight. From 7 to 11 p.m. at the beautiful Penn Oaks Golf Club in Westchester.
And we'll be broadcasting from there, I believe.
On Wednesday.
Yeah,
morning,
on Wednesday for your golf outing. But, Brian, obviously we've got to hit a little football with you. And the Eagles had a chance during the draft to kind of secure perhaps the position you played by if they so chose to go with Kyle Hamilton. Did you, when the draft was going on, did you kind of find yourself leaning towards wanting them to grab a safety? Or were you okay with everything they did?
I mean, we'll see, obviously, with any of those things. You know me, I love chess pieces. I love positional guys that can do more than just one or two things. That can do a whole gamut of things in the secondary. But also a playmaker. So, but I will give them credit for doing what they did up front. By getting the big two I'll call from Georgia, I mean, I think that's going to help that defense tremendously when they earn their rights to step into that starting lineup.
It was funny, as Brian, I got to see Kyle Hamilton play his high school ball, and people before he was even being recruited to Notre Dame described him as a player that liked to stick people like Brian Dawkins out there. And I know that meant a lot in his evaluation process. That got people to notice him.
Yeah, I mean, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I always wanted to be a sure tackler that delivered big hits. Now, I know everybody remembers me for the big hits, but I prided myself on being a sure tackler, first of all, taking the right angles and making sure I wrap guys up. But not only that, you need to have someone that can take the ball away in every way possible. So, again, being that chess piece, to be able to move all over the field. And so we don't know what's going on with the secondary. We don't know who's going to be where. Hopefully we have the pieces in place. But like I said, the start up front, to get that beef up front, to get that pressure on quarterbacks, to have a leader in the second level, the linebacker position, will go a long way in helping this team.
Yeah, and Brian, the other big change they made was obviously bringing in a dynamic receiver in A.J. Brown. You were here and saw what T.O. can bring to a team. How much is this going to change the offense, and what kind of confidence and swagger does that bring to an offense this year?
It brings a whole lot of swagger to it. But here's the thing that I hope does not happen. I hope we don't lose I hope we don't lose our personality. I'll say it like that. Because we became a very physical football team last year. Very physical running the football. I hope we don't lose that in trying to throw the ball all over the yard. Yes, get the ball to your playmakers in different ways possible. But I hope we don't lose that identity. That's the word I was looking for. The identity that we developed as far as being a physical punch you in the mouth football team.
It is going to be a great event coming up a week from tonight. It is the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament Soiree. The night before the event, May 17th, next week, 7 to 11 at the Penn Oaks Golf Club in Westchester. Tickets currently $125, but they're going to go up on May 11th. May 11th is tomorrow, so they're going to go up to $150. Tickets include open bar, great food and music, a foundation presentation by Brian Dawkins, silent and live auctions. Oh, I can only imagine some of the silent live auction stuff that you're going to be able to get from this crew. Did you make every one of these guys bring something with them, I hope, for this thing?
Not this year. It's the first one. You know, I want it to be, you know, very easy on the guys this year. But next year, more than likely. But here's the other thing we haven't mentioned. There could be the very strong possibility of me singing some Bob Marley. So I'm just putting it out.
Wow.
Whoa.
What's your go-to song there, Brian?
And treat you right. Just letting you know that, like, there could be me singing some Bob Marley for the right price.
Okay, that sounds like a can't miss event. So check that out. Go to impactcharityclassic.org. Brian, do you think that all the chatter about the Eagles potentially having this, you know, it's the show me season for Jalen Hurts, potentially hurts them a little bit when an organization sort of where it's been letting known behind circles that, yeah, we're going to give him a shot this year, but he might not have the job next year? How do you think that affects a guy's psyche?
It really depends on the guy. It really depends on the guy. Like, for me, the any type of pressure reveals the heart of a person. That's what it does. It reveals the true heart of a person. So when you put that pressure on someone, you really get a chance to see who they are. And oftentimes, we always say the cream rises to the top. And some of those positions in my life, when I've been put in those pressure positions, like, I love the fact that you're putting that pressure on me because I know what I can do. And I know what I'm going to go do with the opportunity that you're giving me. So if he has the fighter in him, which I believe that he has, I believe that he's going to go out and produce. Again, wrapped around that physical offense that can punch you in the mouth, now you have the versatility of having more weapons outside. So now you have to decide who you're going to stop as a defense, right? So once again, I give him a whole lot of credit for some of the things he's already grown through in his early career, even in college. And I just like the fighter in him. But again, it depends on the person. Some people crumble under that pressure. Other people, they rise. And you really get a chance to see someone that, when they do rise, you really get a chance to see someone that's going to give you a lot of joy for years to come when that happens.
Brian, how would you describe this offseason for the Eagles? Has it been an A+? Have they just done what they needed to do? How would you describe it?
I would give it a strong B, absolutely. A strong B. But again, you can grade them for what they have, but you have to see the product that then steps on the football field and how they manage the product and how they put people in position to have success. And then do those individuals take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them? So we'll see all those things this coming season.
The legendary Brian Dawkins joining us on the John Kincaid Show. He's promoting his soiree coming up next week at the beautiful Penn Oaks Golf Club in Westchester next Tuesday night, the 17th, from 7 to 11. You can get tickets. $125 today. There'll be $150 tomorrow at impactcharityclassic.org. Brian, we talked last year about the Eagles. Very often that the defense didn't really have an identity. Is an identity designed by coaching staffs with scheme? Does an identity come from individual or just the playing personality of the guys on the field? Or is it a combo?
It's a combo, but if you look back on our defense, yeah, who was our defensive coordinator? Jim Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Jim was a gritty, you couldn't mic him for games because it would have been boop, boop, boop the whole time. The mindset was set ahead of time of how he wanted the defense to be run, right? So now we took that and we ran with it, but you know, we already were physical anyway, so we kind of meshed. But you have to draft individuals that you feel fit the mindset of how you want the defense to be ran. So again, we'll see this year what type of mindset this defense has. One of the things for me was we need to take the ball away more. We need to have more individuals that have the capability to take the ball away and give it back to the off score, if possible. Slay did a great job of that himself, but we need more individuals to take the ball away.
Yeah, Brian, Jason Kelsey's an all-time great Eagle, Canton bound. Much like yourself, he was very influential in not only scouting Cam Jurgens, but signing off on him like, yeah, this guy's legit. You should get him. Is that something you could have done in your career? You know, help the team scout and basically pick your replacement down the line?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I've been blessed to hear from other individuals is I'd never look for someone that is me, right? I don't do that. I look for qualities in guys. And not only qualities, I look in the temperament of the individual, especially coming to play in a city like Philadelphia. And so all of those things combined is why I believe I was blessed to see some things in other guys, even my teammates, to help bring out some of those things in them. So to your question, absolutely, that could have happened.
It's going to be a great event. Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament comes your way next Wednesday, but next Tuesday night, it is the soiree, the night before at the Penn Oaks Golf Club.
The soiree.
And you may sing. That's what I'm hearing.
No, there is no may in it. I am. I'll be singing more than likely two songs, but if enough, you know, cash flows, then it'll be three.
Okay, that sounds like a great deal. Everybody go to ImpactCharityClassic.org. Brian, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Good luck with the event. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me. Be blessed, everyone.
Thanks, Brian.
Just there's something about it. Just
soiree and golf is really not two things I would put next to label with Brian Dawkins soiree back in the day.
Brian,
but
soiree and Brian Dawkins.
Yeah.
I love it because he makes it cool. He makes it cool.
Oh,
he
yeah, absolutely.
Sound like he had some pipes on him, too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, he can
and
sing.
He's not shy about it. So,
oh,
yeah.
And
go.
Even if he can't sing, are you going to say anything to him?
No,
probably not.
You
have the guts?
I think that's what Algie Crumpler said to him before he laid him out.
Oh, I'll get behind Trey sing. And hide and say it.
I can
that's
arrange.
My only hope.
You know, I can arrange that meeting.
Oh. Algie?
I want Algie to meet Kofar. I'm not Kofar. I'm thinking my old producer.
Wow.
I want you to meet Egan.
Wow.
No, because I'm thinking of it.
Who are you again?
Kofar had a problem with Algie Crumpler at one time, too, and then I arranged the...
I didn't have a problem with Algie.
The little layout of
Dawkins
Algie Crumpler. Man, he did. He laid him out.
That and Sheldon Brown are probably the two best hits I can recall in my...
Yeah.
Actually, Malcolm Jenkins in the Super Bowl.
It took
jeez.
It cut the heart
career.
Right out of them.
Yeah, I can't believe Algie caught the ball.
I can
and
he's
held
tough,
on to it.
He's
yeah.
a tough son of a.
But man,
time.
He was not the same after that.
All right, there's a triple header on Christmas.
Saw this.
Did Santa Claus deliver anything to the Eagles? The first game announced 4:30 on Christmas Day. The Rams host the Broncos.
It's a good game. NFL stealing that's Christmas Day from the NBA.
The NBA will become irrelevant on Christmas Day.
Do they have their normal Christmas Day thing, do you
yes.
think, the NBA?
Yeah, the NBA had already announced.
Wow.
And the NFL was
sucks.
They thought the NFL was going to cede Christmas to them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why would we do that? Because more people are going to watch us easily than watch regular season NBA games. They are the first game announced, the 4:30 game, will be the Rams hosting the Broncos. I'm dreading this a little bit because I don't want to see a Christmas Day game with the Eagles.
I don't either. Good. Let me have Christmas. Like, that's NBA, there's 82 games. I can have it on in the background,
right.
Pay attention to it, and most of the time be with family.
An Eagle game at Christmas?
That hijacks Christmas.
It's going to be the last four games of the year.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Really critical. Pat?
Well, they will play no matter what. It's a Sunday.
Yeah, but not,
I don't
right?
need it
no,
on
but
Christmas.
They, no, they don't.
Christmas is great.
Yeah, because
leave it
they
alone.
Used to play on Saturdays or Mondays to avoid Christmas Day. They would play one game on Christmas Day. This year, they're playing a triple header.
I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, I'm a situation where we have to do four Christmases. We have to go around to, you know, both our parents are
on
divorced.
One day you yeah. do that?
Well, I mean, we try to at least. Usually somebody ends up getting stiffed. But we try to hit up as many houses as possible, and it's really tough to do that when you know the Eagles are playing. Although it does give me an excuse to stay home, which would be cool. But
no, Christmas is one of the best days of the year. I don't need to add an Eagles game to it.
I like Christmas.
I kind of agree with Jamie on this one. Yeah,
just let it be. It's fine.
Yeah, you like Christmas Eve better because you're an adult now.
I like both.
I love both.
I love Christmas
yeah,
Eve
I love
and with Christmas.
Yeah.
It's all kind of one 36-hour day.
Okay,
you know
that's
I mean?
A great way of looking at it, James.
It is a good way.
Yeah.
Jamie's on point today.
I do not want an Eagles game on Christmas.
Stay away,
Day.
Goodell.
So what are they going to do? They're going to do that week on a Saturday?
They're doing Saturday and Monday and Sunday. So the 26th is fine. 26th for an Eagles game would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Awesome.
Why can't things just be good enough?
Well, Saturday Eagles game's cool. Christmas Eve, no.
No, because I don't want to. I don't.
No,
no, because I don't want to go.
Don't worry, I'm just asking.
I want to go to Christmas Eve Mass, and then I want to go eat.
Although the last time that the Eagles did play on Christmas, they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year.
Oh, was that
point,
terrible
Pat.
Raider game?
It was
that
yes.
terrible
so,
Raider game.
I mean,
okay,
do you guys want to win the Super Bowl or not?
Yeah, right.
Hey. Hey, Graf and Media joins us. What's up, Graf?
I'm with Pat. Pat, you secured it for me. I didn't want an Eagles game on Christmas, but whatever helps my odds, I suppose.
So you believe that helps the odds?
I don't, but I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of norms, I suppose. Which is if the norm is the Eagles play on Christmas and we get a Super Bowl, then I love you, Jesus.
Yeah,
I also love my Eagles just as much.
We love Jesus too, Graf. Thank you.
Yeah. John, real quick.
Yeah, buddy.
The NBA is a joke. The idea that the MVP holds any value any longer is ridiculous. If you listened to national radio at all yesterday, you would understand that the majority of the call-in audience, especially in the Bart and Han show, were completely on the side of Joel Embiid and Bart Scott, who said straight up, if you have to pull advanced metrics out of your back pocket to prove with a 20-minute dialogue that Nikola Jokic is the rightful heir to the MVP, I'm sorry, but that's a ridiculous argument because it only takes me 2 seconds to tell you that Joel Embiid deserves that award more than anyone in the entire league.
Now, wait a minute. I've worked with Bart Scott before. He did not say pull it out of your... He said something worse, right?
No. It was a paraphrase. I'm making a paraphrase.
There you go.
Long-winded conversation yesterday.
That's awesome.
Great.
Good job.
And John.
Yes, sir.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Graf.
We appreciate it. By the way, I got I'm thinking of Graf from media the other day. So one of our listeners sends me a picture of Wanda Sykes out in media. I want to meet Wanda Sykes. I love Wanda Sykes.
How do we convert her to being a listener?
Wanda.
Come on, no,
Wanda.
She's not.
Wanda, we will send.
She would have called.
We will send something. Coach, could you arrange the limo to pick up Wanda to bring her into studio, pick her up, bring her back? Our Imagine Lifestyles buddies.
We might be able to arrange something a little better than a limo.
Dear Wanda Sykes, you have huge fans on this show, and we would love to have you come in and hang out with us. Someone sends me a picture and goes, here's Wanda Sykes, and she was at, I don't even know what it was. I want to say a Trader Joe's, but I don't know if there's a Trader Joe's in media. But it looked like she was at a Trader Joe's because of where she was sort of standing.
They got great stuff
and
there.
She is just shopping, and there are people around her, and she's just one of the people.
Celebrities, they're just like us, John.
No. A lot of them aren't.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't. Wanda Sykes is. She's a lady of the people.
They got great snacks at Trader Joe's.
I like me some Trader
Joe's.
Yeah,
great burgers and stuff. Getting us back to the skeeve factor, that skeeves me.
What does?
Where there's those giant bins and you make, and here you scoop out your, because I had
like
seen.
Like candy you're talking about?
Look,
like
well, they have the trail mixes and stuff like that. Skeeves me out.
Well, if it has like the turn where it, you know what I mean? Where you don't have to scoop, then it's fine. You know what I mean? Like one of those turn wheels where it just shoots out a...
Guy said to me, he sends an email here, Eric, it's not our Eric, says to me, you're really skeeved out by salad bars? Salad bars are one of my number one skeeved things in the world, is a salad bar. The communal condiment station at a baseball stadium or football stadium is absolutely one of the worst to me. Like, that's one of the, I will not go near it. Not going near it. I am not going to the pump. I'm not going over to grab
so
something.
So you're just eating your hot dogs plain?
I don't tend to eat at the stadium ever.
Oh. So I don't either.
Because I don't want to.
I don't a ton.
Because I don't want to navigate the absolute cesspool of germs and filth that is that table.
Yeah, but I can't eat a hot dog plain like a psycho.
I can eat beforehand at something much better than a hot dog.
That's what I tell my kids. Look, the food here at home is better anyway, so eat here before we go to the game.
You making Schmitters at home?
Huh?
They don't have Schmitters.
You're doing Bulls barbecue and Schmitters anymore.
No, I'm talking about the past.
Well, why are you talking about the
Mango at home?
Oh, guess what?
You got Bulls barbecue at home?
Hey, so if you're going to stand in line for that.
I don't have $50 to pay for those sandwiches. No, I'll tell you that
Bulls
right
barbecue
now.
Barbecue is good value.
Yeah,
if you're
going
to stand in line and then you're going to go, wait a minute, where's the cheese on this pizza? I saw the box.
Don't you?
I saw the box.
Your opinion is
where's
irrelevant.
Where's the cheese on the pizza? Like, hey, come on, if you're going to give me the pizza,
you would
let's have some cheese on it. Boardwalk pizza? No,
oh,
Boardwalk
God.
Pizza.
We're not doing this again.
It's fine. Hey,
By the way, there is a Trader Joe's in media, according to
YouTube. Is there? So that might have been. She may have been at the Trader Joe's.
We say Wanda.
We love you, Wanda. Come on in. We will make sure we make it seamless for you. You're awesome. All right, coming up, our audio time capsules for Game 5 tonight. How do we see this one going down? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show, on the Fanatic. Get to betparks.com. Go to betparks.com right now and take advantage of an amazing deal. If you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you can download the app. If you're 21, you got to be in on that. How about tonight? Sixers a 3.5-point road underdog. Do you want the points? If you think the Sixers are going to win the game, don't take the points. Show me you believe it. Bet on the underdog on the money line. It's a better value. How about a plus 760 odds boost for tonight's game for all customers? Not just new customers, everybody. If Joel Embiid has over two dunks and over one block, you can win plus 760 odds on up to a $10 wager. Bet Parks is a fantastic place to be able to play all the casino games, plus to be able to place your wagers. It's safe, it's easy, it's fun, and you can get in and out with your money really easily. If you have a gambling problem, I want to assure you, I need you to call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Thanks for the General Hospital rejoin there, Pat. Nell and Willow are...
I don't think that's what it was.
Were twins, Bob. They were twins. They didn't know
it. No one cares.
Nell and Willow are twins, so Nina is Willow's mom.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
You know who cares? Game five tonight.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Doc Rivers is ready for his spotlight. The Sixers in Miami with an opportunity to make a big impact because the series hangs in the balance 84% of the time. The winner of Game 5, when a series is tied 2-2, wins the series. It is monumental. Your odds of winning Game 7, when you have lost Games 1, 2, and 5 on the road, are minuscule. They are decidedly worse. This is the game you must steal. Because honestly, the Sunshine and Lollipops crew is going to drive me nuts if they go out tonight, come out with a lame effort, don't win the game, and then come back and win Game 6, and everybody be like, I'm confident they're going to win Game 7. Why? Why would you be confident? If they go out tonight, Bob, and put out an effort like in Game 1 and 2, with Joel Embiid in the lineup, I think I'm going to believe they've got no shot to win the series in 7, even with Embiid in the lineup.
Yeah, I you can't have a bad effort tonight. You just can't because it doesn't matter how it makes you or me feel, obviously, but how does it make a team feel that they go down to Miami, now they have their best player back, coming off of two good wins, and if you go down there and you know, lay an egg, that's not good. So no matter what, it's got to be a good effort tonight. If they lose a close game on a good effort, a good game, okay, you come back here and you win, and maybe you have
right.
you'll feel okay. But I just, after what Harden did last game, after the confidence that Embiid has is gaining even more of his body, the more he plays, and add that in with the NBA snubbing him of the MVP, I'm really thinking the Sixers are going to give maximum good effort tonight.
Well,
I was just going to say, yeah, I think you're getting a highly motivated Sixers team tonight.
Oh, we are.
James Harden knows. He's been through the wars. He knows how critical this game is. He knows Joel Embiid's pissed. Like, they can steal one. They can flip this NBA playoffs around a little bit because people wrote him off down 2-0. And if Joel Embiid comes back and leads them to a...
Look, I'm raising my hand.
If he didn't
down
play
2-0,
game,
down 2-0, I did not see. Well, first off, I didn't see him playing in Game 3.
Well, that was the key to
but
me.
If he didn't
play Game 3, it was over.
But I also wondered, what's he going to come back as? You know, I wondered what he would come back.
We're seeing, even as a fraction of himself, he's tremendously better than any other option and changes everything. So I think you're getting a focused and motivated team tonight. I expect a really good effort from them.
And look, Harden hasn't had this type of a game that he had in game four. He hasn't come off of a type of game like that as a 76er. So I'm anxious to see, okay, he hit threes. He got where he wanted. He was the offensive force that many people thought he still was and can be. He was that the other night. And he's never come off a game like that since he's been here. So I'm anxious to see what his response to his own game is also, Ty.
How does he, where does his game get taken to a different level? All right, let's get let's put our audio time capsules in. I'll go first. Something tells me this Sixers team has been Jekyll Hyde way too long. Something tells me that this Sixers team has been a has been the kind of team that so often will throw up a clunker or disappoint. Do I believe we are going to see an effort like the Sixers gave in games 3 and 4, where they really had control of the game and were holding Miami off at arm's length? I do not. Do I think tonight comes down to one of the final buckets? Yes, I do. I think it's going to be angst. I think there are going to be time when the Sixers trail by 7 or 8. And I think there probably will be times where they're up by 3 or 4. At the end, I think Miami wins a nail biter. And I think we're talking about a victory of 106-103 Miami, which will bring us to a must win Thursday night game 6 at the Wells Fargo Center.
I think the Sixers are going at about 55, 60 miles an hour now, and they're looking to open it up even more. I think those two wins at home, getting Joel Embiid back, I often talk about infusion off the bench that they need and they don't have on this team right now. Joel Embiid being out and now coming back has supplied an infusion in this team that I think was warranted and is key in knocking out the kind of dull performances that we've seen from this team, even in the Toronto series. So I think they put their foot on the gas. I think they win tonight. I think it's going to be a really good win. It's going to be a game that shows Miami doesn't have answers for a lot of the things the Sixers do offensively. Just the two quick keys. You can't have, they averaged 18 turnovers at home and won those two games. Sixers have to keep the turnovers below 15.
We keep saying that.
And they exactly. And they have to stop Miami from getting key offensive rebounds. I'm going to go Sixers 110-101 tonight.
I think the Sixers are going to pull it off. I think they're a different, more motivated team than they've ever been. I think game 4 is a game teams in the past probably come up short with. I saw something different. I saw a team protect the lead and then, you know, insulate it at times in the clutch, which isn't something I'm used to seeing from a Sixers team. Joel Embiid changes everything. James Harden, I think, may have, I don't want to say turn a corner, because you can't expect 30 points from him every night.
It's only time in 26 games he's done it.
Yeah, he looked different. And I think he's having a quietly pretty good series, even though a lot of people don't think he is. I think it's lights out for the Heat. I really do. I think the return of Joel Embiid gave them a swagger and a confidence that's, like, you can see it. And my biggest fear going into this series was that Jimmy Butler was going to have two of those games like he did the other night. And guess what? He did. And it didn't matter. So to me, that's huge. When you have a guy that can go off for 39 or 37, two games in a series, and then potentially not win those games, I think that's a kill shot for you. I think it kills your internal, kind of jazz you got. And I think Sixers win. I was something similar to Bob. I'll go 108-98.
All right, Bob. There go, Patrick. Last one.
I also like the Sixers, although I'm torn on this. If you asked me in an hour, I could pick the Heat. I do think that this game's going to be really close and a nail-biter. I think the shots for the Heat that didn't fall for them in game 3 or 4 will end up falling for them. And the Sixers are going to have to get into a shootout. I do think that the big man will be motivated by getting screwed over in the MVP race, but I do worry that the team will try to force him the ball to prove a point. I think they need to, stick to their game plan. I think George Niang is going to be the big one that we call.
Wow.
He's going to be the big one, all right.
Like, George Niang came in and kind of stopped the bleeding at some points and hit some big shots. So I'll have the Sixers winning 115-110.
Does it bother any of you guys? Everyone is very decisive.
Yes, it bothers me tremendously.
No, because I have nothing to do with the game.
No, I mean, it's about that. I mean, you don't have any waiver that they're going
to
win.
No, tonight. My feeling, my gut feeling about this game has nothing to do with the actual game. So, no, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah, I haven't been able to figure out this team at all during this whole playoff run. So
I haven't been either. I haven't either.
Look, let's put it this way. If both teams play well, Sixers are going to win 9 out of 10 times. So I think they're going to play well tonight. And Jamie made a great point about Jimmy Butler. Guy went off for 40 points the other night. He was unstoppable, and they still didn't win.
9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. You can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. The coverage tonight on the Fanatic, right after the Mike Missinelli show, you do not want to miss it.
And I think part of the reason I feel good is what we talked about a little bit yesterday, that you have four different guys that can carry at different times. With a hurt Joel Embiid, that's crucial, because typically you'd lean on him to carry you. Now you have a Tyrese Maxey that can step up for a quarter and take over. Tobias can step up and take over a little bit when it's needed. Joel can do it, and James can do it at times. So you have four guys. It's not as much of a burden with Joel Embiid being, you know, hurt as it once was with this team.
What I do waver on is I think that, and I heard it all day yesterday when I would listen to the Fanatic on the way to the golf tournament, the way back. Well, I think James Harden's turned a corner now. It's one performance in 26. And people are going, well, that's going to be the new norm. But I'm like, wait a minute.
But here's the thing I was thinking about yesterday. All right, so he goes for 31, and people are going, oh, he turned a corner, he's a scorer again.
And that seems to be that was the overwhelming opinion yesterday.
But if tonight he goes out and gives you 23 with four more assists, what's the difference?
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
What's the difference? If he's assisting on something and it takes away from his own points, the ultimate point is team points, so who cares?
I'm perfectly fine with him if he's distributing and he gets four or five more assists. He comes up with a 13-assist night, they may not lose.
Yeah, people are so focused on the points. He can influence his game in many ways.
Well, that's because when Embiid was out, he wasn't delivering. Yeah. They needed him to score when Embiid was out.
They're not winning anything with Embiid out. So
yeah, but they needed him to score then is what was the big deal. I think that's what people's point was, is they needed him to score then.
Yeah, but he's still a really good player.
Yes, I don't think anybody's arguing he's a really
good
player.
No, there's a lot of people arguing that.
Not saying he's a really good player?
No, people are saying that he's washed and he's cooked and he's this and he's that. Well, I think there's a lot of chatter about it, and it's frankly dumb.
I think the idea that I would tell you that anyone who tells me that he's the same player that he was.
Nobody's saying that.
There are. There are people saying he's still an elite player.
People are expecting that.
No, there's people that are still saying that, though.
Well, that's wrong.
I agree. Then we agree.
Then stop.
He's not an elite player anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. People need to stop.
He's a really good player.
I think we just need to thank each other for listening and make out.
No, we just agreed. Why would we have to say that? We just agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why would we have to say that?
Yeah, why would that seem like it was getting a little contentious?
No, we agreed.
No, not at all.
We agreed on the point.
I'm not in the room, but this sexual tension, it's coming through the air.
See, I think you and Chunas
cut it with a knife.
Yeah,
you and Chunas
that I called Dr. Avi Donapel.
But people are focused on 6-point differential. If he assists Danny Green and George Niang on 1-3 each. What's the difference?
There are people going, you have to give him a max contract. He's that kind of player anymore.
The market will dictate itself.
Hey, Huntington Valley Bank is fast growing. It's the best bank for your business. Celebrate 150 years as a top contender in local banking and make sure that you do that. You realize what happens on Thursday night. We get the schedule. We get the NFL schedule.
Are they doing a big hoopla thing, everything? Is that what it is?
Well, it already leaked. The Eagles home opener leaked.
Yeah.
That it's week number two, Monday Night Football, against the Minnesota Vikings. So that already leaked. And I've already said, we talked about it as a team, and Arizona is our target trip to go on with our listeners, and we will find out about that. We're just hoping it avoids the week before Christmas, the weekend of Christmas, the weekend of New Year's. There's some weeks where we wouldn't do Arizona, but we're hoping that works out. Now, a gentleman that we've met on these trips, Jamie Pallier joins us here in studio. He's a big fan of Philly sports trips, too. And he does a lot of good fundraising. But the amount of time you have to do your makeup, young man, to be able to get up in the morning. Jamie, how are you?
But I'm doing very well, guys. Thank you for having me.
If you're on YouTube, you know what Jamie looks like. If you have been to an Eagles game or been to a Phillies game, I say, you probably know what Jamie looks like.
Or if you watched the draft last week.
Or the draft. You got center showcase on that draft. That was pretty awesome.
Well, you know, it's great. And if you don't know me by Jamie, I go by the Philly sports guy. And
there you
go. My moniker most of the time.
And tell me to put on the ensemble.
About an hour.
How'd you learn to do it?
Well, I started originally doing with paintbrushes, and it would take me about 3 hours. And then my stepdaughter left her makeup brushes out one day, and I learned how to apply using makeup brushes and was able to cut 2 hours off. So it, you know, I would say that I got in touch with my feminine side, but that's really not the case. I just I wanted to cut some time off of the doing it.
Bob and Connor like to sweat. Does your makeup run when it's a 90-degree Eagle day? How do you keep it from running?
That's what I want to know. Not a tremendous amount. So, for instance, when I'm running around, it will drip a little bit, and the silver will run into the green. But for the most part, I spend a lot of money on the makeup because I don't want to break out because I do wear it all the time. So it's more easier for me to spend the money on the makeup and that makeup be good enough so that it actually is breathable.
How did you start wanting to do this?
So I've been painting up my face for years. However, it would always be for away games because Sean Young was always there.
Sure.
And I never wanted to step on his toes. 4 years ago, when the Eagles went to New Orleans for the playoff game, I spent some money. I got in row one. I found out Sean was not going to be there, so I put on the shoulder pads and went to town. I wound up going viral through the help of John Clark making a video and Barstool Sports sharing it out. I came back home and a production company got a hold of me and asked me to do a commercial for charity Mascots for a Cure. And I went and did that. And they said, you know, just after spending the day with them, they're like, you know, you have some great energy. You're like the savior of the Philadelphia sports fan. You're like the Philly sports guy. You should see if that name's available. And it was, and we started to just connect it, and they said, yeah, we'll start helping you doing this. In the meantime, my mother was on her deathbed. She had COPD and emphysema, and they had tried a lot of different things, but nothing was really working. So, and she calls me up, and she goes, you're not too famous to talk to your mom, right? And I'm like, no, Mom, not at all. And, you know, when you're at that stage of your life, I mean, I guess everybody will have a little bit of regret. And she came right out and said, you know, if you want to be this guy, this Philly sports guy, then you go ahead and do it. There's no sense in working in things that you don't like and being miserable. Love what you do and just go ahead and do the best you can at it. And I took that ball and ran with it.
And you're raising a lot of money for charity, too. You have your own, you know, your pet charities, too.
I do. I try. I feel like that putting on this makeup isn't just to get attention on me. That's not what I'm trying to do. I feel like it gives me a louder microphone. And if you're not using that microphone for good, there's no point in having it. And that's why I stand behind a lot of different charities and I do a lot of appearances for them just because it's more about everybody else. It's not about me.
You have very similar MO to Sean. I've known Sean for years. Similar type of MO. Like Sean he did it for the joy of it.
Yes.
Did it for the energy of it.
Yes. And I will say that Sean and I are definitely two different people.
Sure.
I mean, I do this for all the Philadelphia sports teams, not just the Eagles. I would say that I got a lot of my look from Sean, but I needed something that was able to go from team to team, and all I'd have to do is change the colors. So when the Eagles did the masks, I kind of donned the mask my own way, where it was almost like a little bit of a burglar mask, went with the goatee coloring, and then the mohawk came back on my 40th birthday when we were walking around, again, of course, in New Orleans at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're walking around the French Quarter, and they're asking me, it's my birthday. They're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, let's see if there's a bar that has clippers, and let's see if we can get my mohawk shaved. And, of course, Coyote Ugly.
Oh, yeah, had it. Yeah.
Had clippers. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, they shaved my head.
How do people find you, Jamie?
So they can find me on any social media under the Philly Sports Guy. And then I'm always around.
We've bumped into you quite a bit on the road.
Yeah, I obviously Philly Sports Trips helps me out a lot getting to all the games. I did go to all 18 games last year, which was a lot of travel.
Sure.
But it was a great season to be a part of and watch the Eagles make it to the playoffs. So it's been a lot of fun doing this. And like I said, without the help of Philly Sports Trips, I wouldn't have been able to do all of that.
You're lucky, too, because, Jamie, you were going to do this. Our Jamie was going to do this if he didn't do radio.
I don't have the patience for makeup.
I can't imagine.
I'd run out of patience in about 5 minutes.
That's great. How many photos do you think you've taken? Like, I mean, as far as like selfies where someone says, take a selfie with me, are we talking probably into the thousands by now?
I would probably go as far as to say into the hundreds of thousands.
Oh, my gosh.
If a football game, I was going to bring a clicker one time, and I haven't done it yet, but I probably take every bit of 500 to 1,000 pictures every football game. I would say hockey is my second biggest, where I probably take 200 to 500. And then for the Sixers, and the Phillies are starting to really come along, too. Everybody really likes the Phillies look.
You were right there with the Mets douche that got his phone chucked on the field. Did he have it coming or what?
Yes, he did. Yes, all he right, did. I was there the for Mets a couple douche. Of innings watching that whole situation happen. And ultimately, he, you know, when you stick somebody, when you stick your phone in somebody's face,
uh-huh.
I mean, the kid who threw it on the field also was kind of planning on a little something. I'm glad they got their 15 minutes of fame. It was funny, and nobody got hurt. Nobody got arrested. It was good. You know,
by the way,
I mean?
Someone sticks their phone in your face, and you were to take it and stomp on it, you can get away with that. I can say you don't have to throw it on the field. You can just say, someone's sticking a phone in your face and illegally taping you. You can do whatever you want to stop them from doing it. Just don't hurt them. You don't have to assault them.
Well, interestingly enough, that does happen to me quite frequently. And when that does, I just play it off, obviously. Because, I mean, I am held to a little bit of a different standard.
Correct.
I am not able to just go fly off the handle. And although I am wild and crazy when you see me on camera and at these games, you know, I don't let these losses, you know, dictate how I feel, you know, and that's, you know, I have to be.
You're not Egan then.
No.
Because
no.
Egan lets that happen. Egan's miserable
sometimes.
With us. After a loss, you're miserable
it
with
depends.
Us.
It depends.
When does it depend? I haven't seen the depend.
It depends.
When he loses, when they lose. Oh, man. Hey, Jamie, good luck with that. Everybody, again, where do we find you?
You can find me. The easiest way you can find me on all the different social medias is really in my link tree. It's link.com. Yeah, linktr.ee /TPSG.
There you go. Thanks, Jay. Good luck. Thanks for doing the good work. Thanks for doing the good work. We have a lot coming up, including he's found his job after retirement. We'll talk about it next. Who is it? Well, he's pretty famous. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Window Nation's having a graduation sale. And what they've graduated to is a fantastic 0% financing deal for 5 full years, 60 months. You're going to get 2 windows free for every 2 that you buy from my friends at Window Nation. And since they've installed over 1 million windows, and since they have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you don't have to ask me if you can trust them. But what I would also tell you is right now, you're going to get a great, great deal. Let's say you get a price quote today. You can then have that price quote be good for 6 months. There are so many different ways that you can capitalize. They've got every size, every style, every color window you could ever imagine at Window Nation. Go to windownation.com, do your window shopping online. And then what you do is you call them at 866-90-NATION and you say, I want to take advantage of this great deal. I heard Kincaid say it this morning. 0% financing, 5 full years, that's 60 months, where you're getting 2 windows free for every 2 that you buy. This is a deal you don't want to pass up. Call them today, get it done. 866-90-NATION, that's 866-90-NATION. 90 Nation.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Game day. And I got to tell you, I'm a bit bothered by all of you.
That's good, because we're all bothered by you.
Well, good, then we're even.
Yeah.
I'm a little bothered by the nonchalance towards Game 5.
No, I'm really not nonchalant.
I don't know where all this confidence is coming from.
Joel Embiid exists.
Yeah, he existed like...
He's a pretty good player.
All regular season.
What does that have to do with the playoffs?
He existed in the Toronto series.
Yeah, and he won you a couple games.
He did, and he also, there were games where they just literally crapped the bed, too, and had some of the worst efforts we've seen in the postseason.
He was dealing with
a little too negative. 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, no, he was dealing with a new thumb injury.
Yeah, a little too negative.
There's a difference between being, I think it's all, it sounds, I'm just telling you, it sounds a little Pollyannish to me. Like, oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine. They're going to win game five.
Yeah, but I don't think we're saying it that. I don't think you are.
You're being very clinical.
I don't think any of us are.
You don't have any worries at all, you said.
I said I'm at 80% that they win. That's 20% worry.
I don't know, that's quick math for you, John. I don't think that's 20% worry. Worry is...
That means I think they don't win 20% of the time.
No, but that's what not... That, there's a difference between that and worry. The worry to me is that this team just... I've seen this team dial up so many games where you go, how the hell did that happen? That I don't think that's going to happen again?
I think Ben Simmons and the teams of the past are haunting you a little bit.
I'm talking about post-Ben Simmons. I've seen this team draw them up.
Well, two games in Toronto?
I think the games 3, 4, and 5, they weren't good in Toronto. They bailed out game 3.
Well, then you stole one because your MVP took over a game late and dominated.
Yeah, I do worry about that. I do worry about that effort coming out. And we're going to know early, I think. I think we'll know within the first 5, 6 minutes of the game which Sixers team you're getting.
What kind of night it'll be.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about what has happened over these past two games with Joel Embiid coming back, with James Harden doing what he's doing. Tyrese Maxey finding himself a little more. And look, it's weird to say, but the most stable person on the floor for them has been Tobias Harris. When you have all those things going offensively, they're a pretty good team.
I love Frank Sinatra on Twitter saying, John, don't be negative today. Dude, I'm not gonna blow sunshine up your skirt. I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling. You don't have to feel like I feel. You can be completely confident that they're going to go down there in game 5 and win it. I'm not with you on that. I'm not there at all. I was, though, like game 6 in Toronto. I was when we were out there for the draft. Did you love me that morning when I told you I was completely confident and I had no concerns they were going to win the game? Did you complain to me then? No, because I was saying what you wanted to hear. I don't give what you want to hear. I'm not going to give to you. I'm going to tell you what I feel like.
Could you try, though?
And now I can't because I don't. I'm very much, I said, it's no better than a coin flip for me tonight. I can't put it at more than a coin flip. And this team's resume of performance tells me I can't put it at more than a coin flip.
Everything you're saying is logical.
Okay.
And I don't like it.
That's fine.
I still don't like it. Because
no, I get you.
You're saying coin flip, but what the tone that I'm hearing and the words, it sounds like it's 20%.
No. I'm saying
it's clear that
right now, like if I was to tell you here,
you're skewing negative.
I said it would come down to a last second basket, and I thought Miami won 106-103.
Now see, here you go.
That to me is this game's gonna hang in the balance. And I felt so decisively about game 6 in Toronto, I didn't have any concerns at all. And Bob and I went back and forth on it all day of that leading into that game. I feel the same level of confidence that we're all going to be grinding our teeth tonight. And that's why I have to wear those stupid mouth guards because of the grinding of the teeth. I should wear them during the Sixer games.
I was just looking up the NBA referee assignments for tonight.
Any idea?
Yeah. Kane Fitzgerald, James Williams, Tyler Ford.
I don't know any of that. That's good.
Yeah.
Is that good?
If I don't know you, that means you haven't made yourself a storyline of the game.
There you go.
So, yeah, good.
All right. Tom Brady has found his post calling. Now, I put a text out to a trusted source. And, yes, the belief is he joins Fox next season. He's going to call games for Fox. Tom Brady's going to be their number one analyst.
You could do a lot worse, I think.
Peyton Manning's the only one that I think I'd want more.
I love Peyton Manning.
Because Peyton Manning's fantastic. I think he's more genuinely funny than Tom.
I would hire Peyton Manning for anything in life.
He's outrageously good.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady... So Tom Brady's going to have that lead analyst job on Fox. He's going to be their guy. They're not putting him as the two guy. They're not putting him as the three guy.
No, you don't bring Tom Brady to bring in anything but A.
So Tom Brady's going to retire, I guess, this year.
What's Romo making these days? 15 mil or 18?
18.
Mil? Oh, yeah, he got paid.
So what's Brady get? Now, he doesn't have a track record, but he's got to get at least 15, right?
I don't think he's taking under Romo.
No way.
Well,
yeah.
I was told in my text that I just received, though, a few minutes ago, follow the breadcrumbs. You may now know why Troy Aikman went and took another job. Why Fox was not where Troy Aikman goes. They didn't even come back with an offer to me.
Yeah.
They didn't even try to counter me.
Yeah, they were negotiating with Giselle.
Because they had a chance to get Tom Brady.
Is Brady just going to do a year of football, though?
Yep. Yeah, he's going to do a year of football.
Yeah. Drew Brees' agreement with NBC was whenever he retired. I don't think it was like a hard one-year thing.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
I would imagine Brady gets that same leeway.
The belief is here is that I'll just read it to you without, because this is going to be on somebody else's network today. The belief is that Tom Brady will serve 1 year and then join Fox at the end of the year. The question will be who holds the number one analyst seat this year, because you know they hired Tom for that seat. So for this year, someone's going to ascend to the number one spot.
I mean, they already kind of know,
and
right?
Kevin Burkhart is the happiest man in the world
right now.
Sure. Kevin Burkhart and Brady is going to be a team.
That'd be good.
That's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be the team.
That's going to be absolutely awesome. But for a year, you don't know what they do.
I wonder if Brady's only going to play a year. I don't know.
He may go longer?
I think he might try to go
league again. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this failed so miserably. Are you going to try it again next year? I don't know. I'll bet you we get Tom for two more years of football.
You're saying two more?
Yeah.
Pat, you the same way?
I'm about there, yeah. There was a story that came out around when he came back that Brady wanted to go to the Dolphins. And basically the Brian Flores interview kind of put the kaput on that. So I could totally see him doing a year and then trying to book it to a desired location.
Is the kaput on that?
I was wondering what the kaput.
Pat, I always do this. By the way, I always do this to you, and maybe it's not fair. The kibosh?
The kaput. I don't think that's a thing.
It just I can't even say it. Put the kaput.
Oh, no. People are using it all over the place.
Kaput?
Far
and wide?
Pat, you were the younger demo.
K-U-P.
So maybe it is something that we...
K-A-P-U-T.
K-A-P-U-T is kaput.
Can you define it?
Kaputs.
Yeah, it's the end. The kaput.
Put the kaputs on it.
And you use it in another sentence non-sports related.
The spelling?
Yeah, it is. Use it in a sentence non-sports related.
My coworkers wanted me to explain something, but I put the kaput on that.
Now it makes a lot of sense.
Pat, you know what? Here's what I'd like to do. I do call you on a lot of these things. If there's a way, every time I do it from now on, Coach, you could just grab the audio of it, and then maybe like towards the end of the year when we're having a happy-go-lucky Christmas show, we could replay Pat's misnomer.
Hey, look, I have them too, so save mine too.
The definition of kaput.
Well, we should save them for everybody.
How'd you spell it?
Willy nilly. We should
K-A-P-U-T.
K-A-P-U-T is what's that?
Broken and useless, no longer working or effective.
So not in the context Pat used it.
You know, I mean, if you're going to be literal, Jamie, jeez.
Well, if we get enough of these, Pat Mays.
This conversation is kaput.
Pat's career in this show could be literally useless at that point, if that comes about. We missed you yesterday, though, Pat.
Yeah, I can tell.
Connor was really, though.
Connor doesn't give you these words, right?
No.
Connor was really feeling it, though. He had a tape measure out at one point. He was measuring back there, seeing if he could bring some of his personal effects into it, like a cubicle at work. So just be careful.
Yeah, he gave me a dirty look when I walked in this morning.
He thought you might be sick again?
He was hoping.
He thought. He wanted you to have the, you know, just the diarrhea. What were you saying yesterday, Jamie? He wanted you to have the diarrhea at the night diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
You said was the worst.
I told everybody on YouTube.
Jamie defined us that.
I heard Connor talking to Chuck, our program director, and he was saying Egan's kaput, useless.
Did he really?
Yes.
Doesn't add anything.
Not effective.
Yeah, he was the one who started the kaput train.
Well, be careful. Connor.
Over the world, join in.
Connor, Egan's going to cut you.
Start the kaput train. The kaput train.
All I will tell you is Egan will cut you. Because and I would also tell you, too, that Dylan McKinnon is also lurking around this place. Now that we know it was a scam that he broke the stapler. So, I mean, he's also lurking.
No, wait, there's no scam. He did break the stapler.
He did not break that stapler. I'm telling you, he didn't.
I talked to him on Sunday. from the Sixers pregame, and I said, what in the hell is going on? And he goes, yeah, I broke the stapler. I don't know why this is a thing. He said, I apologized. I broke it, and I bought a new one.
Hmm.
He said, I'm not sticking up for anybody. Coach, I broke the stapler.
Yeah, he's covering for somebody.
He's covering
coach,
for somebody.
Coach, you just say stuff. You know.
No.
You know what, Coach? He's probably covering for you, you weasel.
Did you break the stapler, Coach?
Negative. But I know that Dylan did not, in fact.
He did not break that stapler. He couldn't explain it.
Why the hell are we still talking about a stapler?
Because
they break all the time.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, why would somebody feel the need to cover up that they broke the stapler?
Why is this a thing?
If Dylan said he broke it, why?
Because he couldn't explain how he broke it. He couldn't.
It's a stapler. It breaks when you staple.
Yeah, but
I don't think it broke by him staring at it or throwing it against the wall.
I was sitting at the table. I pushed down on it and it broke.
Yeah.
He had three different stories when he was interviewed.
Well, why is there any stories? Who cares?
Because he's Dylan.
I mean, come on. It's Dylan.
What the hell are we talking about here?
He's got some stories.
By the way, last question. And Andrew wants the answer to this. Not Andrew Salchunas, who's coming up with Cuz. Will Tom Brady be good? Why does everybody think Tom Brady's going to be good?
Because he's opened up and shown a personality since he left New England. His stuff he does with Gronk, like at the Bucs practice facility, is pretty good. His social media is actually pretty funny. Like, he put out a video the other day that basically said, yeah, it wasn't a fumble.
The butt fumble one.
He's opened up.
I mean, not the butt fumble.
He's not New England Tom Brady anymore. He's shown a little bit of a personality these past couple years. I mean, look at the Super Bowl parade flotilla they did. Dude got trashed. So he's different. I think he's going to be good and insightful and... I mean, he's one of the most brilliant football minds probably ever.
This guy just says, he goes, as smart as Tom Brady is, he said, though he has had some funny moments, he's not a funny guy.
I think people that know him would differ funny, with you. Funny how? Like a clown? Like,
well,
you
know how Peyton Manning is? Peyton Manning on Saturday Night Live held his own.
Oh, I thought he more than held his own. He was terrific.
He was fantastic.
Absolutely.
I don't believe Tom Brady could be funny.
I bet he'd surprise you.
Yeah, but I don't need my analyst to be funny. Has Aikman been funny at all?
No, he's not.
Yeah, he doesn't have. I think Brady's articulate. I think he'll be comfortable behind a mic once he gets a little used to it. I think it's great. Guys with knowledge like that, I could listen to all day long.
Plus, Brady probably couldn't do the Aikman role because Brady wouldn't want to share the analyst role with his play-by-play guy.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
You know, you don't have to have the two analysts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Buck doing his football analyst.
I've never noticed that at all. I still really like Joe Buck.
Hey, welcome back to Swawa Siptopia, your handcrafted beverage happy place. Enjoy smoothies, refreshers, hot and iced lattes, or try the new frozen coffee and frozen refreshers. Gotta have a Wawa. Bob wants to know in Cooney's Corner, is there an advantage that the Sixers might have tonight from when they didn't have Embiid?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, you know, the malaise of games, the malaise that they have sometimes in games, the Sixers, where you're watching, just like, come on, let's go. What are you doing? I think that came from just repetitive game after game, and, you know, here we are, this is who we are, but we don't really know who we are because this guy, James Harden, just joined in, and all of these things were going on. I think missing Joel Embiid for two games gave them new light as to who they are. I really do. I think, not that they needed to be told how important he is, but to physically feel it, to go through it in playoffs without him, and now him coming back and you getting two wins with him not even being 100%, physically and doing what he can do, I think it's a huge boost for this team. I really do. And it's like anything else, you know, whether it's coming in here to work every day and something's different and it gives you more energy, a new energy, whatever it may be, wherever you work, I think that is just this. I think Joel Embiid has infused energy into this team that it's going to carry over. That's really why I'm confident that they win this game tonight. I just think what Embiid is bringing to this team, not only with his play, but also just a renewed sense of energy, I think is going to carry this team to a really good win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any chance it doesn't. I think when he comes back, it makes their life easier on the court, but when they come back, they fully believe they can win. And I don't think they fully believe they could win games one and two. I thought you saw a timidness and all that they were missing their heart and soul.
And we don't like timidness.
And no.
Not in game 5 on the road.
Oh, God, no. But Joel Embiid brought swag back to this team.
And I think, yeah.
Yeah,
I think you'd flip this series on its head.
Yeah, and it's more than just what he brings on the basketball court, in my eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a renewed type of energy, and it could be the reason why James Harden had his best game as a Sixer the other night.
Hey, we're flying away to root on the birds in either Arizona or Chicago. That's what we've got targeted for our Philly Sports Trips Eagles trip. We'll find out on Thursday night when the schedule comes out. So you want to be checking it out. Go to Philly Sports Trips right now. Travel with the pros, and you could be coming with us. Did you pick yourself up a candy out of the candy dish? My mom's candy dish. It's over there. I got you some of those little watermelon...
Strawberry
twisty,
Johns.
The Strawberry Johns that you like so much.
Do they still make those?
I can't be mad at you, my mom.
They have to.
Where do you even get those strawberry candies?
You know what? The old lady store.
Yeah, is there one?
They're not in any other
store. I've never seen them.
The old lady store.
They were just incredible.
Does the government just send them to you when you hit like 80?
The ones I didn't like were the green... Like there were the
cream de mints.
No.
Andes mints.
No, not the Andes mints.
Oh.
It was like a chuckle. You know those, you know, chuckles?
Oh, you mean like the jelly thing?
Yes. It was
jelly
mint.
I hate the chuckles.
Big green.
Oh, yeah.
You
know that one? Oh, yeah, with like the sugar on the outside.
Yes. The chuckles. No, they were chuckles, but there was a old lady version.
Right, it was a mint one.
That they sold.
I'm like, my mom, why are you rolling with the chuckle?
Give me some Werther's.
I don't like the chuckle.
Like, my mom never had the M&Ms in a dish.
No.
Or now my mom had the Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, she did that. She did that.
That's solid.
She would do kisses.
You know,
she had the straw ones, the ones with the almond in the middle.
Oh, really?
You know, it's solid. It's the little individual Rolos. Rolos, the most slept on candy
too much
in the
work,
world.
But it's too much work getting
that
foil off.
It's the same as a Hershey Kiss.
Yeah, but the foil, you gotta dig out each piece of that yellow.
That's strong.
That yellow tin foil. Yeah. Where do they make the yellow tin foil?
I don't know.
Is what I want to know, too. Yeah, for the Rolo. Nice. It's like a golden tinfoil.
It is golden tinfoil.
The kind I buy is like always, at the Costco, is always like silver.
Tinfoil is outrageously expensive these days.
All right, these guys are very, not overly confident, but they're very confident.
I'm with these guys.
Very confident.
Yeah.
What's the number one reason why?
Joel Embiid's on the plane.
other than Joel Embiid.
Well, it's like saying, you know, it's beautiful other than the sun.
Okay. He played in games 3, 4, and 5 against Toronto.
How'd game 3 go?
All right, you got
game 3 was not... Game 3, they played like crap.
How'd they win it?
On a last-second shot? Yes, he did hit a last-second shot.
I mean, I don't know. Do you know about that? Like, they're not going to win every game that you play. You're like, you know, you're not going to win every game.
No, I got you. But they played like crap for a 3-game stretch in that series.
3 games?
4 and 5 were terrible. 3 was not a good game. And they bailed it out at the end.
You won a game. You won a style points?
I got you,
man.
You don't believe in style points at all, though?
No.
Not in the playoffs.
No, I mean, dude, it's the playoffs, man. I mean, sometimes not every game's going to be 120 to 99.
So we're coming into...
You have unrealistic expectations.
So we are coming... No, but we're coming
into... Sometimes I listen to you, I go, what do you want? You really want a lot.
I want a consistency of effort.
Effort's not the issue. It's the game itself. It's how the game goes. You get the same effort. They don't not try.
When you have 16 turnovers, 17 turnovers, 15 turnovers,
I mean,
you're throwing the ball away.
Like, you know there's an opponent trying to guard you. You know that.
No, I got you. I don't believe...
Like, who is the one seed? Like, it's not like, you know, they stink.
They're turning it over at an epic rate, by the way.
Okay.
Honestly,
I don't... Like, you heard your argument with Jamie... And I go, I don't understand your point.
Okay.
I don't even comprehend where you're coming from.
That there's no reason to worry then.
It's not about no reason to worry, but it's your expectations. I don't expect. It's the playoffs, cuz. Like, you know, this is what it is.
I expect.
It's a freaking war. Like, you got to go into this thing. And with him being back, you should feel better. You should feel good.
I do feel better because of it. If they didn't have Embiid.
Just because. Like, listen, it's not about hard to turn the corner, but the fact is, he's a conundrum. I understand that. I don't know why all of a sudden he looked like he was 25 again, but the fact is, he is so much better than Simmons. Like,
oh,
the
no
fact
question.
That you have a real point guard that can actually facilitate was huge.
You should be able to figure it out, though, with me. It's consistency. I don't like. Where you're playing it. You're playing a focused game of basketball, consistent and aggressive, and then you play not aggressive, and then you play aggressive, and then you play not aggressive. I don't.
The playoffs. Like you're going against. You know, it's a series. Like this is what happens. There's an ebb and flow. It's up to this whole thing.
We will see tonight. You ready? You ready for it? You ready for a big day?
I got flapping, you know, butterflies.
Oh boy, there you go.
You got butterflies already?
That's good.
I do.
It doesn't seem like these guys have that.
I feel oddly confident.
They don't have the butterflies. That's unnerving to me.
You know,
that's unnerving to me when somebody is.
I feel good about where, like, because it's on Miami to adjust, and I don't know how I think about it from the opponent's standpoint.
Right.
But how does Miami?
They got 40 points from Jimmy Butler and couldn't get it done.
Well, that's
huge,
and they can't match
75 in two games.
There's no one who can guard Embiid. It goes back to Embiid.
Yeah, and then when you can't guard Embiid, everybody else is open.
Exactly.
And they're going to see shots hit by the Sixers tonight. I'm confident Miami winning is if
Tyler Hero goes nuts.
They got to go nuts.
They haven't covered him yet in this series.
And Eric Spoelstra is a dummy for playing Kyle Lowry.
They haven't covered him yet in this series.
Who, Hero?
Yeah, they haven't covered him at all. The only last game he went four for what? He had one bad shooting game, and that was all him. He shot poorly last game. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great defense on him. He missed so many wide open shots. He missed so many wide open ones.
I mean, having a beat back allows you to play differently.
Yeah, you can jump out on shooters so much easier knowing that if they blow by you, he's there.
Look at Danny Green. All right?
Right.
With Embiid.
Well, he gets extra space.
People go, open looks against Miami. Not like he did when Embiid was back.
Not much better. Don't miss it on Cuz Radio today. He's going to get you fired up, ready to go. And he may even have some of my mom's candy off the table for you if you're a good caller. Support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, All Seasons Comfort Control, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We look forward to talking with you tomorrow. It better be a big Game 5 victory because then we set up the party for Thursday. John Kincaid Show, lead your way to Cuz Radio, Mike Messinelli Show, and then Sixers Basketball right here. On the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.